Coming to you from the City of the Weird. Exploring topics from the esoteric and unexplored to dimensions unknown. Shining a light of truth on the darkest corners of our reality. Welcome to the Curious Realm. Well, hello everybody, Chris Jordan here. Oh, hey, what's going on there? Yeah, that's kind of weird. All right, I don't know what that's about, but let's see what's happening. We have a totally frozen camera, and I don't think I've ever had that happen live before, but you know, what are you going to do? Life happens, you move on, you move forward. Nothing you can really do, just bring it right back to where you were, nice and easy. So, welcome everybody, episode 9 tonight of Curious Realm. I want to thank everybody who's been tuning in since our good old days of Dudes and Beer, which were not too long ago. We have had a great transition over the last 2 months. It's been fantastic. And to see traction picking up on social media, more people coming and joining the group, more people coming and following the page, joining the conversation, downloads at an all-time high. I think it was really probably one of the best decisions that we could ever make for this show and this brand. So thank you to everybody who's been tuning in for years, everyone who does tune in, everyone who is a part of that amazing social media push that we have every week. Thank you, everybody. And to my amazing family, as always, for supporting me amongst all of this madness, because Lord knows it is never, ever, ever ending. So our guest tonight, we are going to be getting into some great conversations. Speaking of the old show, Dudes and Beer, we have an old friend from the old show. Our good friend Billy Joe Kane is here with his partner, David Deeds, to talk about PBJ learning and online education and help me out.
Oh, it's a, yeah, it's so we're in
what's the word?
Prevention
online prevention provider. We'll be learning about human trafficking, spotting the signs, how to really get that prevention, because some of you may have been like, wow, Chris, I was really surprised that you didn't have Billy on last month. Because January is horrifyingly enough, but importantly enough, Human Trafficking Awareness Month. The fact that it is such a rampant problem that we have to have a worldwide day to recognize it should let you know what an endemic problem is, not only around the world, but in your own backyard, folks. And that's what we'll be getting into, is how you can learn to spot those things, how you can learn to broach this conversation with your children, with your school teachers, with your principal, with your school district, and even your local police department. Such an important conversation. Billy Joe Kane and his Radical Empathy Education Foundation were one of the stealing moments of Dudes and Beer that really gave us a cause to get behind and a guest to have on regularly, to really have hard, hard conversations about that, because it's something that, you know, you see movies about it, stuff like that, but you don't think that it's happening like two streets over. You don't think it's happening to your friend's kids or that it might be happening to yours. And it's really kind of frightening how close to home it really is. So we will be getting into that with Billy Joe Kane and David Deeds from PBJ Learning here in just a moment. In the first part of the show, in the second part of the show, we will be discussing the Spotify exodus with good friend Todd Cochran. It is his first appearance here on the show. He has never been on Dudes and Beer. He's been on Talking Sound with me. I, of course, just went and did some coverage with Todd and the Tech Podcast Network and his Geek News Central podcast, stuff like that, for CES. And that is where I know Todd. He is the owner and CEO of Blueberry Podcasting. And when all of this went down and the social media posts started happening, and the calls for silencing, I'm not going to say necessarily a hard censorship, of a show, but definitely a muting of a voice, at least a muting of an opinion. And what that means for the future of podcasting, what that means for shows like this that are carried on distribution platforms, and why is it so important that we carry it on our own website? We'll be getting into that tonight with the Spotify Exodus in part two with Todd Cochran. Let's get into real quick our news of the week. Of course, we always bring up the news of the week. It is posted every week on our Facebook group. Stop on by, check it out. Just go onto Facebook, Google, and search Curious Realm, and you will find all of the articles that we post, all of the conversations that we have about it. At a marijuana moment, the NFL awards a $1 million study to study the marijuana plan management and conclusion and concussion protection for players. So actually using marijuana for pain management and concussion protection. Amazing to see the NFL, who for years has hard drug tested their players for marijuana, really making that pivot turn, to say the least.
It's a schedule one.
So out of CBS News, two New York nurses allegedly made $1.5 million off of fake vaccination cards. Out of the insider, Brad Pitt's green housing dream for Hurricane Katrina survivors turned into a nightmare. That is actually a horrifying story. Out of DailyMail.uk, staff fury at ABC that Whoopi Goldberg has not been fired for her Holocaust claims, saying that the Holocaust was, quote, not racially based. So, you could not have been more like put my foot, your foot, and the camera dude's foot in my mouth. Those of you in the Austin area, and of course, take care, everybody in the Northeast. Please feel free to check in on the Facebook feed tonight. All that, let us know how you're doing amidst the madness. We're looking at possible planned power outages here in the Austin area. And for our final bit of news out of Fox 5 New York, Milltown Mel, one of the great prognosticators of prognosticators, passed away this morning. So, unfortunately, Milltown will not be having their annual Groundhog Day Festival. Punxsutawney Phil is still around and kicking, though, folks. And he is the real... I should have been wearing my Punxsutawney Phil shirt. One of my favorite events I've ever gone to in my life was the pomp and circumstance of Groundhog Day. For all my fellow UDers out there, party well tomorrow. May the groundhog be with you. That's it for our news. The news of the week. A little Wolverine yell there for the groundhog, folks. A little something for Milltown Mel. Speaking of a Wolverine yell, I want to give a Wolverine yell out to our good friend and guest here. Let's bring in Billy Joe Kane. How you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing great, as a matter of fact.
Fantastic.
We have some big stuff happening, and we're really, really excited about it.
Yeah.
I got some stuff I haven't even told you about.
Well, let's get into that, because of course, January being Human Trafficking Month was a big part of me doing this show, and of course, having you on as we typically do during the month of January. But man, when I saw the fact that you guys landed in Psychology Today, that was so a huge moment. So, yep. Kudos on that, my friend. Let's get into a little bit of that, what spawned that, and PBJ Learning in and of itself. What brought that about from your work with Radical Empathy and how that came to be birthed? Because we'll soon be joined by your partner, David Deeds.
That's right. So I guess I should start off with saying human trafficking is a horrible crime. It's happening to people being labor trafficked or sex trafficked. And the shortest definition that I can come up with comes out of our course, where we use the AMP model, which is A-M-P. Human trafficking requires three criteria to be actually trafficking, which is actions, means, and purpose. Actions means that, the definition of actions is actually harboring somebody, recruiting that person, advertising that person. So it's like, how does that person become put forward to be sold for sex? So it's any, and sex sorry, the sell part of it is anything that is of value. And then the means is going to be, usually it's force, fraud, or coercion, where somebody is tricked into it, they're forced into it, or they are warned that they're going to have something bad happen to them. So coercion. So actions, means, and purpose. Those are the three things. And that could be labor trafficking or sex trafficking. So once we got past that, and you can read the definition, I think you have that up on Curious Realm during the in the intro for it. So
yeah,
we got started with radical empathy because my kids were actually being groomed by a friend of mine, if you can believe it, that turns out was a sex predator. And the more that I learned about everything having to do with that and human trafficking, I realized that I didn't know anything about the way that somebody gets tricked into being trafficked. And one of the ways that it happens is through what they call grooming. And so grooming is where you normalize discussion of sex or a certain type of negative behavior, and you kind of make it more and make sexual discussions a little bit more and more okay. Like you might talk about pornography or things like that. And this guy had started doing exactly that with the kids. And we found out about that and realized that we didn't really know anything about grooming, and we couldn't find anything online that explained it in a way that would make sense to kids. So I got into virtual reality after that, found out that it would actually make people care, and you could put somebody in a very intimate place. So I created a virtual reality simulation that shows people how this could happen to somebody through what they call a finesse pimp or a Romeo pimp. And so this girl meets a boy online, and he convinces her that he loves her. And during the time that he's doing that, he's actually interviewing her to find out what's going on with her life. What kind of vulnerabilities does she have? And those vulnerabilities makes it more more likely that that person is going to follow through on convincing that they love them, turn them against their parents, get them out of the house, and then eventually turn them into a life. Turn them out. Exactly. So this virtual reality experience, we've been showing it all over the United States. We do it at South by Southwest, a bunch of game conferences. And so what happens is people cannot believe this could happen to their kids or themselves or anybody that they know. But when they go through our experience, they find out that that actually could happen to people quite easily. Yeah. So usually they'll put a headset on and they're like, yeah, this would never happen to my kids. When they take the headset off, the first thing they'll say is, did you know this could happen to anybody? And I'm like, yes. And so people come back the next year and they say that based on the experience that they had, that they went out and they quit their second job. They rededicated themselves to their family or their kids. They started finding out who it was that their kids were hanging out with, got a little more interested in what was going on with their social media. And it literally has saved lives. There's no doubt about it in my mind. When those families come back and they share those stories, I mean, they're with tears and you know, and with all intent to make a difference. And that's just in the families. I mean, we have kids go through the same way.
Yeah.
So I'll tell you a little bit about PBJ. So when we were doing all these events in 2020, we had just done a huge event in Salt Lake City with Operation Underground Railroad, where we were doing VR and teaching people about trafficking and giving them access to counselors that were local. And by doing that, then we went with Operation Underground Railroad to Los Angeles, and we performed, you know, our what we call impact events at the Microsoft Center, which is this enormous, enormous place for the people that were at Tony Robbins' 60th birthday.
Oh, wow.
It was absolutely huge. They were working with Tony Robbins was working with Operation Underground Railroad to raise money to help them. And they raised $18 million that night.
Wow.
It was incredible that they had done that. And I could talk about that forever. But what wound up happening was after we were out there, we came back to Austin and we were going to be doing, I think we had 15 fundraising events set up at South by Southwest and multiple locations, et cetera, et cetera. And then COVID happened and then South by Southwest got shut down and we put everything in the closet. And, that really sucked. I didn't realize how much it affected me, but during the year I met with David and I met him through his YouTube channel called Human Trafficking Hater. And we decided we were going to start an online course, and our online course is called Human Trafficking Essentials. We started PBJ Learning to do that. So Human Trafficking Essentials is everything that you would need to know about trafficking, no matter what job position you have, no matter whether you're a parent or a kid. It goes everything from definitions, then prevalence, like where it's happening, vulnerabilities, the things that could lead this to happening to somebody, and then response is what you would do afterwards. So we launched the course, had some pretty good success, and then Human Trafficking Awareness Month was coming up. And so at that point, we had started doing a lot of prep work, talking to media, and got extremely lucky. And a wonderful woman named Mackenzie, she actually, Mackenzie Littledale, she and I had been talking on Twitter for years, and she was like, hey, I'm doing Psychology Today. I would love to interview you. So Dave and I did, got about a 2-hour long interview, and she cut it down to, what would fit on a page.
Yeah.
And they have like 40 million views a month.
Yeah.
So we were super happy about that. And what Dave and I realized was that during the month of January, we were not getting the hits that we needed. Mm. So we have decided we're going to be altering what we're doing, and we're going to be working on a hotel course. So it teaches people that are hoteliers. We're going to be working on a labor trafficking course. We're working on a law enforcement course because those are mandated by law. So yeah. What I would say is to you and your visitors and you and the listeners, if you are interested in taking our human trafficking course, right now you could use a coupon code called Welcome Home, and that will let you use it for free. I'll make sure that Curious Realm has one, which I
Great.
Did not prep for today.
But That's all right.
We're going to call it Curious Realm.
Okay.
And you'll be able to type that in later tonight. And let's see, what else was I going to say about that? My goodness. So what PBJ Learning does is it provides its online course to Radical Empathy Education Foundation in exchange for Radical Empathy getting donations. So we give it to them. Radical Empathy uses it to get donations so they can provide their mission, which is in-person learning at these impact events.
Yeah.
And if you want me to keep going, what's going to happen this year? We got invited to go on a all across America tour with a racing event. So they're going to be following a racing circuit, and they're going to let us show off what we're doing for their attendees. And that's on the weekend. So we do 3-day weekends. And then during the week, we're going to be going to schools and churches all across America doing what we need to do. So
that is great.
It's unbelievable.
It's happening, Billy.
It is. And so I've always wanted to join the circus. So this is going to be my way of doing that.
Your rock and roll road dreams fulfilled, buddy.
It is. We're going to Muppet show this thing. We're going to get in our big van and travel all across America. So what we're doing right now on reefcares.org, which is our main page for Radical Empathy, we are doing a fundraiser right now. And that fundraiser is going to be used to essentially get us to the point where we can meet with donors that will hopefully give us a van and hopefully get us enough headsets so we can actually perform our impact events to the best possible quality.
That is absolutely amazing, man. And to know where you have come from with this mission. Since
you've always believed in what we're doing since 2017, before we had anything going on.
I mean, you were out at the Classic Game Fest here in Austin, set up with
That's right.
a what was at that point a pretty small rig.
Yep.
In all reality, you know, no pun intended.
Well, what we were doing at that point was we were still learning how people interacted with virtual reality. Mm-hmm. So we had built a few tools and a few little activities because I had this belief that people would be able to use the hand controllers and things like that to really get into this experience.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole thing was, it was supposed to be a detective story where you went and you collected clues.
Yeah.
And after watching people struggle with just figuring out what a headset does, all my dreams of making it super interactive, kind of got crushed. But by doing that, it made me realize that to make it more accessible would allow me to reach more people. So we spent a lot of time working on a completely different action navigation interface than I think I've seen in anything else. You use gaze, by looking at something, it activates things, which is not that new, but the navigation on the ground to go from one point to the next actually indicates to you what you're supposed to do and what you haven't done. So it's different than anything, and I absolutely love it. But mostly it makes people care about the topic.
It really does. I remember even with the first version, Stephen tried it live on air. I remember it was his birthday.
It was.
And yeah. Shout out to you, Steve-O.
No kidding.
And yeah, he was just blown away. And the experience of it, and to see, pull out your headset now, because even now, to see what you've come to now from a complete and full system that required sensors and cables, and you know, let's go out and set this thing up for an hour and a half beforehand to make sure things are taped down. Now it
took forever.
All side loaded into it. I remember whenever you were on an eBay hunt like no other for used headsets.
Yeah. It was pretty crazy back in the beginning. We were using an HTC Vive, which had to use a graphics card on a very fast computer. And there was a giant cable.
Yeah.
And setting it up required like a 10 by 10 area. It was just a.
Yeah.
Well, now these things, they're still cool, but my goodness. So this new thing, this headset now is called the Oculus Quest. And it is completely self-contained.
Yep.
It basically is a very smart smartphone. Inside the headset is a couple of lenses. I'll take this guy off. This is for safety and cleanliness. But basically, these two lenses look directly at the screen, and they're separated by, you know, a little bit of space. You can adjust this, et cetera, et cetera. But you can get these things about 3 feet away from each other. When we started, we've worked with the University of North Texas Health Science Center, and we're teaching medical students there. And we had 38 of these things active in a room where you could barely get 38 people standing up, and it worked flawlessly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, you could literally be sitting on your stool at your lab table.
Yep. That's right.
As opposed to before where, yeah, you needed a space approximately this size.
And
to be able to.
$2,500 setup.
Yeah. Yeah. Somewhere to be able to set up, you know, 4 tracking cameras on tripods, all that stuff.
It was absolutely crazy. But yeah, so we've upgraded to this, and, you know, we support Vive, we support Oculus Rift, we support Oculus Quest 2 or Quest 1 and Quest 2.
Wow.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy. So what we need right now is we need the money to buy more of these headsets. So I really would like to get like 50 of them. So when we show, and that's $30,000 with all the extra stuff. So
yeah.
So buying all the little stuff like this to make it sanitary. I mean, these things can, you know, peel off so you can clean them, et cetera, and some security stuff. So once we do that, you know, we're going to be ready to handle entire schools in a number of hours.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And being able to do that on a mass scale really does change the reachability of the platform and how many people have access to it.
So while we're talking about impact events through Radical Empathy, the way that they work is it's kind of in 3 stages. The first stage is teaching people a little bit about trafficking. So there's a video, and then we have a person that can answer questions. Once they're done with that, then they move into an area where they try the headset, and they spend about 15 minutes a piece using it. And then after that, we have local groups or local individuals that can actually provide information and, I guess, really phone numbers and everything else that you might need for help. And sometimes when people go through this, they realize that they've had some sort of trauma in their life that they need to talk to people. Sometimes it's their parents are divorced and they haven't spoken to their father. You know, had an 82-year-old guy find just first time he's ever admitted it, that he was, you know, abused when he was 12 years old. And it's like these things are it's intense.
It's a powerful tool. It really is.
It is. And we're really proud to have made it and have the chance to go meet people and show them what this thing is all about. And it changes lives.
Yeah.
Way better than a PowerPoint.
A lot more than a PowerPoint. And I think mainly because it's interactive.
Yep.
The viewer themselves is driving the presentation and at their speed.
Yep.
Not a movie. Not a here's a 15-minute long video. Rewind it. Play it again.
That's right.
Like, it's a really, really interesting and intricate experience that takes you through. And shows you the location that somebody lives in. Now, let's get a little bit into some of that education and what it teaches you and what the course is. Because here in just a minute, We'll be joined, of course, by David Deeds,
right.
The other half of PBJ Learning, and we'll get into a little bit of the actual, you know, education part of it, things like that. But what are some of the signs? Because that is a lot of what the game,
right?
The game platform does is teach you those signs, teach you a lot of those behaviors that are out there. And I mean, beforehand, you, myself, my wife were outside like we always are having a like hour long conversation before we come in here for an hour long conversation and we'll have another hour long conversation afterward. But I was showing you these images that I proudly took at one of my favorite properties in America, the Venetian Palazzo Complex,
right?
While I was there for CES. And pay attention, folks, like one of these right here, that one right there is actively in a, that's in an elevator.
Yeah, I would say, oh, go ahead, Chris.
Well, I was going to say the point that Amy made earlier was the whole concept of awareness. And you see so many, so many causes, so many charities out there that try to raise, quote, awareness for something.
Right.
And awareness is great. Throwing a ball to raise money, to raise more awareness, to like, to me, that's kind of the cocaine commercial from the 80s. You know?
Yeah.
Just the mentality where it's like, I'm going to work harder so I can make more money, so I can buy more cocaine, so I can work harder, so I can make more money, so I can buy more cocaine, so I can work harder. And it's like,
yeah,
we're going to throw a big party so we can make more money, so we can tell people about this, so that we can make more money, so that we can throw a bigger party, so that we can tell more people about this, so that we can make more money. So the, and that's kind of how the awareness cycle works. And not too many of those that are out there raising awareness are actively doing anything on the prevention side.
That's a really good point. In fact, prevention is the only way we're going to really do anything about this. We have to end the supply. So there's like really three different things. There's supply, there's demand, and then there's justice, ideally.
Mm.
So the supply is obviously people that are actually able to find somebody to provide them for this happening. And I want to make sure that we mention that all of this stuff that you will hear about in public really is about sex trafficking. And in particular, they talk a lot about domestic minor sex trafficking, which means somebody that's under 18 years old, which, by the way, they do not need to be tricked into this. It's just if they are trading their body for sex and someone is doing it, is basically providing them for it, that is trafficking. But one of the things people don't talk about is labor trafficking.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a massive thing. It's in our food. It's in our shoes. It's in our clothes. It's in our computers. I mean, all the rare earth minerals that are in everything.
Yep.
A lot of that stuff is done by children. If you eat chocolate, you know, you are generally...
you're crushing souls right now, dude. I want you to know that.
I know it. And that's tough shit. Honestly,
no, no. You know, I mean,
too bad.
I'm thankful for the fact that a lot of the things I enjoy do not come from that. Like, I don't hear a lot about like peat processing for scotch being involved with human slavery. But when you're talking about like the lithium for my phone, like a third of the lithium harvested on the planet comes from human slavery.
I believe the quote was, "We will coup anyone we want."
Yeah.
Elon Musk on Twitter. I mean, it's like they're saying the quiet part out loud. My friends get tired of hearing me talk about trafficking and how everything they're doing is a part of it.
Hey, I'm going to fist bump you right here on air, brother, because people like you, people like Mitchell Gerber, who we've had on the show and need to have on the new incarnation, out there talking about the organ trafficking on out of China with the Uyghurs and with the practitioners of Falun Gong. Like, wow, wow.
There is some real messed up stuff going on
there
with that.
There is some
there are baby factories
there. That is why I say on the show all the time, Billy, I'm a spiritual person. I'm not a religious person that much anymore.
I feel the same way.
But there is true evil in the world.
You know, let's explore that for just a second. One of the reasons that this is happening is not because people just wake up and think, oh, I'm going to go do that. It's for money. This is a commercial problem, and this problem is on a scale that no one can believe.
Mm-hmm.
Like the first iPhone, apparently Steve Jobs didn't think it was smooth enough, so he had an entire city go through and actually like sand all those things down. It's absolutely insane what we put up with. A lot of food, not necessarily now, but I mean, really, who knows? Because they don't have enough people looking. A lot of the seafood that came out of Thailand, excuse me. Was processed in ships that are off the coast. And what would happen is somebody would get stolen or drug off to those ships and they never came home. And one of the reasons is because they wore them out physically. And then when they ran out of anything useful to get out of their physical body or their physical labor, they slice them up, take their organs, and then they go sell those on the market. People's bodies are very valuable.
Oh, God,
so
yeah.
Let's just kind of run back to the commercialization of this. Corporations make tons of money on this. This is not you're getting a blowjob from somebody in a street corner.
Yeah.
Human trafficking is worldwide, and it is it's making people rich. And there's there is no one that's stopping this. There's nobody that's going out to those ships in Thailand. There's no one that's checking this stuff. It's like trying to say it's dolphin safe tuna, please.
Yeah.
Please.
Which I mean, I remember a lot of these causes. I'm a kid of the 80s.
Same.
You know, 75 was my birth year. So I remember asking my grandmother why she was using Aquanet. Why are you trying to destroy the ozone layer for my generation, Grandma?
Yep.
I remember these causes popping up. I remember when AIDS hit.
Grapes were a big thing for a while.
Yeah, grapes. No, my wife literally did not realize until recently. She was interviewing somebody right over here at her interview station, for her show. And they started going off about the grape movement in California, and she never realized her mother, who was like an incredibly woke person before woke was woke, involved in the Boston Teachers Union, like in the higher rungs,
wow,
all kinds of stuff. Like, oh yeah, like she went out knocking on doors for the Democratic Party, all kinds of things. Amazing woman, very, very politically involved. They were not allowed to eat grapes as kids. So she's like, now I realize why I have this, like, ooh, grapes, what a treat.
Yeah.
Because I was never allowed to have them. And it wasn't until she interviewed that guest that she found out about the whole Cesar Chavez movement,
right,
and everything else, and the boycott grapes and all that.
Yeah, my wife, she went to St. Edward's, and apparently part of their charter, I hope it's still the same way, is they would bring in people that were low income. So one of the people that she met there was she was Hispanic, and she had worked in fields as a child. And so they did not stop spraying pesticides while they were working. And so she said that a lot of her childhood was getting on top of her brothers and sisters
to
when they were younger.
Well,
to cover them so that they didn't get hit by the pesticide spray. And guys, this is happening in America.
Yeah.
Like straight up, and it is happening to this day.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's a mess, it's ugly, and it's everywhere. And you know, there's little things, and David, when he comes on, he'll tell you some of this stuff. I mean, like, if you can decide to make like one change a month, right? Which is like buy a fair trade coffee instead of a regular coffee, that adds up with enough people doing it that it'll actually slow down some of this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, buy used clothing, you know, for crying out loud. You're not
sure.
not participating in that. You're not participating in in the ink and everything else that's being put into the clothing. It's a real mess.
Yeah.
And labor trafficking is the thing that no one wants to hear about. Sex trafficking is in television shows, is in the radio. We all say pimp and everything.
Well, it's sexy. It's sexy.
You hate saying that,
but it's the fact of if the crisis is sexy, we can headline it.
Well, you
like,
know,
yeah, guaranteed in the next 2 weeks, I'll make you a bottle of whiskey bet.
I won't take this bet. I already know I won't.
All right, yeah, because you've seen my dudes in beer Colbert moments.
Yep.
I guarantee you, you will see no less than 10 human trafficking articles before the Super Bowl.
No less.
Within the 2 weeks around the Super Bowl, you will see no less than 10.
Do you remember the cocaine human trafficking analogy you gave, which is give me money so I can raise awareness, blah, 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 blah?
Yeah.
Okay, well, the dirty secret about the Super Bowl, and I used to believe this, it doesn't really increase the number of people that are being trafficked, because guess what? The supply is already there.
Yeah.
And
most of the supply is in that location.
No one will talk about that because the supply is everywhere like this. So it's like, you know, I was blown away. A lot of the things that I thought were true about trafficking turns out that they're not, you know?
Yeah.
And that was one that just blew me away.
No, it's one of those that... It's a sexy headline story.
Yes, it is.
It's a sexy headline story. Yep. You can put it up against a major thing.
Yep.
And make it look and spin it to where you're trying to do something.
Right. And I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, anybody that's out there trying to raise awareness and doing prevention education, using PowerPoints, these people are all heroes.
Even the spin. Yeah, thank you.
If they're getting it out there and it wakes somebody up, that's awesome. So, I mean, I'm not saying that these things are bad. I'm just saying that what we're being told is not necessarily the truth.
It's a part of the story.
It's a part of the story.
It's far from the white light. It's just a color in the rainbow.
Yeah. So, I mean, like I said, I don't want to get like down on that stuff.
No.
But, you know, the more that you dig into this. You hear about awareness, you hear about prevention, but what you don't hear about is measurement of these things. Like, what difference are we really making?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't see a lot of that. I don't see a lot of people proving that they're making a difference. In fact, I think I talked to you about this a little bit earlier. The number of people that are, trying to raise awareness or doing something in their corporations, it's just not effective. You know, they put together a 6-minute video. They expect people to watch and they don't even measure their knowledge, but they give them a certificate and they say, hey, guess what? We made a difference. And then that company sends out a ton of press releases and maybe somebody reads the press release, but I'm not convinced that those things are really, truly effective. And it's a heartbreaker.
Now, granted, I can come at this from another angle because for years, Billy, and I mean, like for a good portion of my life, I was involved heavily at my church.
Right.
Assistant youth minister at one point, you know, taught confirmation to high school students, taught sex and sexuality on one weekend a month to seventh grade.
There's no way to talk about any of this stuff without no way to help these people avoid it.
Hey, man, that was the birth of this show. That was the birth of let's have an uncomfortable conversation. You want to have an uncomfortable conversation? Start going out and talking to seventh graders on a Saturday afternoon about sex and sexuality.
I think the worst part is trying to get past their parents. They won't let their...
Oh, no, they were in a session, too.
Oh, that's awesome. I mean, that's really one of the ways...
They were in a session before the kids came.
There are studies now that show that if you're not getting sex education in school...
Yeah. And this wasn't sex ed. This wasn't sex ed.
You're talking sexuality.
This was sexuality. Like,
yep, you're right.
Let's understand, like, why you think what you think. Let's understand the social morals and mores going on in our society right now and how you need to behave in public, how you need to conduct yourself as a person.
Right.
And how you need to not necessarily not follow through with that, but if you're going to follow through with it, be educated about it. You know, understand the fact that a condom is a prophylactic. A condom is not a stop for AIDS.
It's not a stop for even
for
sex,
any
for
STD.
Yeah. Yes, you're right about that too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a prophylactic. It's there to stop semen. So
basically,
let's have that hard talk, seventh graders, before you start carrying them in your wallet. Oh yeah. And by the way, don't carry them in your wallet.
For
hot tip.
Way to get pregnant and get an STD.
But these are the things, though. Dispelling those rumors, dispelling those myths that you hear, you know, as a seventh grader. Like, that's when it starts floating around the gym room. And to be able to reach into a kid's life at that point and drop that seed, to be able to reach into their life at a seventh grade point and go, do you have friends that are suffering with this? Like, man, even if you were doing a thing about depression,
right,
on an afternoon, you know, so that's where I come from, is from the point of view of being a former youth minister and going through what at the time was called Virtus training.
I don't know what that is.
Virtus training was, okay, you are going to go and attend a Saturday of training at the diocese. It'll probably be a Friday night and a Saturday afternoon. And you'll go through 8 to 12 hours of training where you watch videos, talk to counselors, talk about why you shouldn't be in a room alone with a kid. Don't ever leave the room, without your co-teacher with you.
That's a big,
you know, things like that. The proper do's and don'ts of working in a room with children that are in junior high and high school. Especially now. And this, of course, all came from the molestation cases, things like that. Because, yeah, there had to be some kind of education for those of us who were there. It's one thing as a seminarian to go through these classes and go through intense classes about it. But as a layperson teaching on a Sunday afternoon, back in the day, you didn't really go through that.
Well,
so to see that change and to see it be like, so if you're going to be in that class on a Thursday evening, you have to go through this 12 hours of training. And it was 12 hours.
Well, you remember,
is that David?
He just texted and said he was going to call in. And so you remember back in the day in the 70s and 80s, there wasn't much on television or any news that said, hey, if you're being abused as a child, you know, you should call somebody and here's the number to call.
It's
nothing.
No, there were PSAs. I grew up in the age of the PSA. I grew up in the age of Arnold and Willis.
Yeah.
Learning about, you know, don't go to the back of the bike shop. All that stuff.
At least there was that.
And I jokingly make fun on the show all the time of like, hey, until I watched the after school special, I didn't know I could get weed in the back alley of the Kroger.
Yeah,
you know, like how much of it was out there because we put it out there? You know, it's kind of like whenever you look at the actual numbers of like how many kids are actively kidnapped by the FBI. Totally different than what we were taught in the 80s as kids about, like, look out for every unlabeled white van because it's going to snatch you.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that's kind of the
duck and cover. The difference is when you look at the numbers for human trafficking,
it's at a scale that's unimaginable.
It is far beyond the number of children that are kidnapped every year in the United States.
Kidnapping does happen, but it's a blip compared
Exactly. Yeah. It's a frightening blip because you hear about the kidnapping all the time. Well, you still got like don't talk to strangers things going on with kids at elementary schools.
Which, by the way, is stuff also like a that. Problem.
Huge thing. Even today, Billy, whenever you showed up at the house, you've met my boy before. Mm-hmm. He's met you. He loves seeing you. But he asked, can I go over there and talk to that boy?
Yep.
You're a boy, by the way.
That's all good.
But he asked permission to go over and talk to you.
Yep.
Which, yeah, is a huge training point. Speaking of a huge training point.
Yeah.
I should be trained on bringing our guests on a little bit sooner. David Deeds, welcome to the show. How are you doing, my man?
I'm doing great. I was trained to be patient, so I was happy to wait. And I'll be honest with you, as soon as I got on, you know, just a minute ago or whatever, I heard you guys talking about, I think you guys were making the comparison with knowing about drugs back then, you know, back then being, you know, relative to ages. And I was like, man, I got something to say about that. And then as you kept on going, then you went into human trafficking. And I was like, well, there's where I got something to say.
Well, go on about the other thing first, though, because I really do. Well, it really is one of those, like, the two things translate into one another. It's one of those that our parents don't know jack about trafficking.
No idea.
Half of our generation, I would say two-thirds of our generation, either doesn't know about trafficking or thinks it's some like, okay, Yahoo, whatever the hell you're talking about.
Or doesn't want to know about.
Like, well, yeah, sure, the lithium from my phone comes from a slave pit in Africa. Sure it does, dude. you know?
Well, watch out.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Dave off his leash.
Yeah, go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, man, I think that, you know, and even just what you said, there's so much to unpack with that, where you're like, you know, even if you can get people to buy into that, the lithium battery, like the, you know, the cobalt that's in your phone or the other, you know, rare minerals that are needed for electronics, you know, that these end up in your stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, and they'll make a good point. They'll be like, hey, look, besides, you know, this one phone called Fairphone or Freephone that you can only get service if you live in England or something like that. You know, yeah. All these other phones have it in there. So I really don't get a choice. And you're like, okay, well, that's fair. But then if you got to convince them, like, hey, look, when it says made in USA, please know that does not mean slave free. Because yeah. if you're thinking of slavery as modern day slavery, which equates to human trafficking, according to a whole bunch of experts that I'm not going to list off right now. But if you've got that connection there, then people who are labor trafficking victims are no more than people who meet the definition for labor trafficking, which is,
yeah.
Is there an action? Is there a means? And then what's the purpose? It's, you know, for commercial gain. And so, I mean, there's people producing, you know, things, everything from eggs in Ohio mm-hmm. to getting almonds in California. And they proudly say made in USA. And we can falsely think like, well, you know what? Human trafficking is just sex trafficking, really. And people who are working in the US, even if they're getting paid less, I mean, are they really being exploited, or are we giving them an opportunity? So it's like, it's this perverse way yeah. of slavery has become benevolent because what you are escaping is so horrible that this makes it acceptable.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that is a sham. And there's a lot of people who buy into that. So,
hey, brother, the point that we've been making the last 2 years is quite literally saying that just by making somebody a quote essential employee,
yeah,
doesn't mean you helped them out,
right?
Doesn't mean that you changed
right.
the situation. Doesn't mean that you changed the slave wage for which
right.
they pour every friggin' latte without a tip.
Yeah, and I mean, and it's happening. Oh, it's gigantic corporations too. You know, I mean, like.
Yeah.
Everything from like Walmart locking people in overnight and then you
yeah.
know, letting them know like, hey, look, if you go and say something, you know, that we're making you work this overtime without getting paid overtime wages, then
yeah.
you're going to lose your job. Well,
yeah.
now what's just happened there? What's the action that's taken place there? Right. Like
yeah.
You're having somebody there, right? So you've recruited somebody to come work in your store.
Yep.
And then the means is that you're coercing them, right? Because you're letting them know that they're going to lose their job, or there's
going
to be some sort of action. There's a threat.
Yeah,
and what's
force.
The purpose? Yeah. And so then you're, well, actually for that, there's a lack of force. And so,
coercion
is just,
yeah. yeah.
Right. It's the threat, right? So by making that threat, I've asserted control over you because you believe that whatever I said that threat was that I will report you to immigration or that you'll lose your job or there will be some sort of ramification. You believe that will happen. So now that that's happened, and now we look at the purpose. So we've got our actions, we've got our means, and the purpose is for commercial gain. That is labor trafficking. So
yes.
that
there
company
in Walmart traded on the stock exchange down the road from your house.
Yeah. Yep. And so, I mean, you know, I don't mean to just, you know, jump in here and hammer this, but I think it's
that's
crazy.
That's why you're here, Dave. Go for
yeah.
it.
Yeah. We,
yeah.
Hey, man. Hey, don't get me wrong. Like, Billy and I get into some conversations. We get into some hard conversations about this stuff, man. But we also take things down different routes. We also talk about the different ways in which this is. And I know since your involvement with Billy, man,
yeah.
His focus specifically on this education and getting this out there has,
yeah.
I mean, man, it's grown immensely.
Yeah, dude,
Dave
has blown me up.
It's been just to see you guys from a distance grow this thing and grow the concept and what you're talking, like since the first meeting that we had about video production and stuff like that, and to see the content that y'all are putting out now. And the website and the program.
If I could be honest
with you. It's amazing.
One that's super kind of you to say all of that. And I will tell you, as far as our content goes, I come up with the education aspect of it, right? The information. But as far as making it palatable and somebody wanting to actually view it, that is 100% Billy, because I give him just straight, I mean, a garbage of me just rattling things off. And he's like, okay, let me put on my designer cap, and he whittles it down. And so I think the analogy that we use is, like, we grab this sequoia tree, and I'm like, Billy, I'm going to start hacking away at this thing with an axe. And then I bring it to him. I'm like, do you see my vision? And then he pulls out the whittling knife, and he brings it to fruition. So nice.
That's it, really, it, it that's really where is. Got the idea for PBJ.
Yeah.
See, it is.
Right.
One
right.
of us does some of the work, and the other one does the rest of the work, and we yeah, put it together.
Well, you know, it really is that idea of, this is where I excel, but this is where I lack.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. and even my wife and I, with the company that we run, like, the things that she does are things that I do not excel at.
What's funny is that when you tell somebody, I don't like doing this part, it turns out that other person might like doing it.
Dude, he really has been. I mean, I hate to get cheesy with it.
No, go.
But he has been the peanut butter to your jelly, brother.
Yeah, that's.
Yeah.
You had a lot of shake because, you know.
Yeah. It's been a long time since since I had anybody like this in my life. That's right, Dave. Lots of love.
Yeah.
It's been great. States.
And we talk every single day. I mean, so that's the thing. It's not like we decided, you know what, let's go ahead and start go down this path together because we're both in it. I mean, it really is because we mash up as far as our skill sets go, where I'm lacking, he's better. There's other things where we kind of are both, like, you know, both kind of shoddy, but we lean up against each other like Bubba and Forrest, and it works. So, but then there's this, he really is my friend, right? Yeah. So it's not like, oh, I just, you know, I got to bear through and deal with this guy. And so it, you know, totally changed my perception of, you know, I tell Billy all the time, I'm like, I can never start a company with somebody else because it's just such a unique process going through it with him.
It's
and
a
so,
sport
anyhow,
in chemistry, isn't it?
You know, I'd like
to. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's great. Yeah,
it that's really it just spoils you where what, it's what like, I'd it like shouldn't say, be this easy.
What I'd like to add to this is that, Dave and I think, are very good at acknowledging when stuff's not working.
Mm.
So, you know, I was telling you a little bit earlier about, you know, us, we work so hard to get the word out during, you know, Human Trafficking Month. We work so hard. And then we looked around and we were like, this isn't resulting in the things that we needed to do. So we were like, you know, forget this. We're going to work on the next thing. And
that's
when we moved over to, you know, working on hotel training. So that's,
and you know,
that's in process. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, that's great too. Cause just going along with this whole thing too, where it's like, you know, everybody, you know, there's a lot of talk about human trafficking. Now, if you look from, you know, 2000, when the country first released, you know, a definition for human trafficking with CDPA, since then, the amount of talking about human trafficking has picked up significantly, whether it's on social media, whether you're looking at QAnon stuff, or whether you're looking at what's taking place on the border, or just nonprofits in general. But I think the thing that is interesting to me, especially as we made this course, I really thought that the common everyday person was really hungry to get this sort of content, where it was like, they're sick of the BS of having to go through Google and, you know, try to find out what's real, what's not, or just going through, like, you know, some websites have really great information, but it's like so much and you don't know where to go. It's like looking at a map of the US and you're like, I don't know what cities I should go to, what landmarks I should look at. So we thought, like, okay, as far as like the US, you know, the if the human trafficking was the US and you needed to go through this so you could get the best sense of what the US was. So we're going to take you through what human trafficking is. And we give you these four sections and, you know, and it just seems like, we figured out, like, okay, for this course, there are some people who want that, and there's some people who don't want that. Some, you know, some people, they want to, they're going to engage with it when it's their required course, you know, whether it's in the hospitality industry or law enforcement or whatever it is. And maybe that's just a part of the culture where it's like, we've gotten people used to getting information in bite sizes, right? They don't want newspapers anymore. They want magazine articles, and they don't want magazine articles anymore. They want, you know, Twitter and YouTube. And so it's like, you know, and I don't, you know, blame anybody or shame anybody for that. But it's just like Billy said, we had to learn that.
You know,
you know,
yeah, Make up your mind, people. And years ago, and this is just one hot piece of advice for you guys. This came straight out of the owner's mouth of Rooster Teeth years ago. And Billy knows, like, when it comes to gaming, nerds, anything like that, like, Rooster Teeth is on top of it.
Yeah, they are.
And this was back in the days of Periscope. I was paid to go work the big RTX.
I loved Periscope.
The big RTX event here in Austin and run video for it. And he was up on stage taking questions. And somebody was like, why don't you have a Periscope account?
That's a good question. At the time.
Good question at the time. They were around for about 6 months. They lasted about 8 or 9. And
it was more than that. I know what you're saying.
And he was like, things like that, Vine, that kind of stuff. He's like, we could dedicate an entire team to each one of those platforms when they launch and hope that they stick around.
Yep.
Or we could focus where we already know our interaction is and beef that up. And involve the people that we already know that are involved and bring in their friends who we know that they will already involve.
You know, I'd like to bring focus to the trying to find what people would like to click on and what they would like to see.
Whew.
And luckily, Dave had already, he put together a YouTube channel trying to figure out what that was. And that's how we actually met. Well,
I was going to say.
Yeah, Dave, can you describe what your experience was with that?
Please.
Sure. What you learned.
So
and he's still when running I first the channel, started, don't get me wrong.
Right. So when I first started the channel, the idea was I wasn't reaching enough people. I had hosted movie nights. I had worked with nonprofits, trained police officers, even taught a college level course on human trafficking. And I just felt like I wasn't reaching enough people. So I'm like, all right, let me go to YouTube. Like, I mean, there's people over here that are literally farting into a sheet and getting a million views. Certainly there's got to be people that want to hear real information about human trafficking. So, I still haven't gotten into as many views as the guy who farted into a sheet, but I'm working on it. So,
it's okay. Neither have I, dude. And we talk about UFOs and aliens and how to light farts from sheets.
But I think the approach that I started off with was really educational. And then I quickly found out within a couple of episodes, I did an episode on the coronavirus, how it was increasing human trafficking, and touched on some of the keystones of that. And I realized that people were looking for things that were more current, not just straight educational. So then I started doing things like finding the biggest human trafficking case that I could identify. And there was one case that had like more than 1,200 people involved in it. And it was for labor trafficking. It was for domestic servitude. It was shipping people out from like the Philippines, I believe, out to different countries, in Europe and I believe in China as well. But the way that I got people to pay attention to it was I was saying, hey, look, this one case involves more people than in the entire NBA and Major League Soccer put together. Yeah. If you found out today that the entire NBA, all those professionals were being trafficked, wouldn't you care? Wouldn't you care that LeBron James was busy cleaning somebody's floor or that Anthony Davis was, sweeping somebody's kitchen? Of course you would. It would be an outrage. But because it's these people who are vulnerable and forgettable, we're not paying attention. So as I started figuring things like that out, I started, trying to hone in on that, but without kind of selling myself down the river, right? Like, I could have put some pretty sensational stuff up there, right? 20 sure. kids locked in a cage under a tunnel. And, people would have jumped on it. So,
you could go rabbit hole all day with that if you wanted to, but there's a difference between creating a sensational piece and putting something out that is truthful to the cause.
Sure, right, exactly. And so, and long story short is that, I started figuring these out through failure, because the things that weren't hitting, I could see like, oh, okay, that's not working.
Yeah.
I don't know that I've totally figured it out. As it is right now, I am, 4 people away from 1,000 subscribers, which I told myself, I was like, man, when I get to 1,000, that'll be it. And for some reason, I have been hovering at 996. So if somebody just wants to go ahead and join, just so I can say I hit it.
What is the channel? Let everybody know what the channel is, David. Otherwise, I guarantee you.
It's Human Trafficking Hater. So I have had so much pushback on it. People are like, oh my gosh, that sounds like a teenager's running. I'm like, well, that is what it is. It's true to what it is.
Knowledgeable.
It's easy to hate human trafficking. And so, you know, if you're going to be a hater on something, I figure human trafficking is the right thing. So, but you know, I'll just wrap up the whole human trafficking hater thing by saying, if I get nothing else out of Human Trafficking Hater other than I met Billy, it was a raving success because I jumped on there and I was like, you know, I'm just going to share this with people and see what happens. See if this is what they want to do. And, you know, here's this guy. He reaches out to me and he's like, hey, man, I really like your channel. This is great content. This is the nonprofit that I'm with. I'm the president of it. And I'm like, oh, this. I was like, oh, snap, the president of the nonprofit. Let me take a look at this.
Yeah.
And then I went and saw it, and it was this VR thing. And, I'm just clicking around on the website. And I'm like, dude, this is pretty freaking sweet. So I messaged him. Oh, like a week later, I had this VR thing sitting in my house. I put it on my head. And from that moment on, there was not a chance I was going to get away from Billy, because I was like, this thing is amazing.
Cause
I've been studying human trafficking for over a decade at that point. And I had seen nothing like that. And it just totally put you in the place. And so I was like, man, dude, we gotta do something. And so now, you know, here we are, and I'll quit going on about that. I think as we've worked together on the course, it really forces you. You were saying earlier about how Billy had to focus. And man, it made me focus so hard. I can have a conversation with somebody for exactly 9,573 hours straight about human trafficking. Like, I can go all day. And, but when we talked about trying to make this thing into a course that was tangible for people to actually take and not be like overwhelmed with, it was like, okay, we really got to get down to it. And that's when we started really hammering it.
When you're talking about curriculum, dude, and like I was telling Billy, just as you came on, I have a background in the world of youth ministry, things like that. I have helped write curriculum, that kind of stuff. And it's not easy. It's not easy to figure out how to translate a concept to a different mentality than yours. The things that you guys have done, granted, I have not gone through and taken the course yet. Like I told Billy before the show, I will have that and have a review done for you guys by the end of this week on that.
Nice.
Because y'all, I mean, good God, man, Billy's been my friend for like over 5 years now. It's crazy. And I want you to keep coming on, David. Like I said at the beginning of the show, this is one of the causes that when it popped up on our radar for our show, it totally changed the direction and the thought of the show. This target.
Yeah, it rocked me when I found out about it too.
Things like that. Like it's one that will rock your world and like, oh my God. It's mind numbing.
Do you mind if I get Dave to talk about some of the stuff that he's been working on for his dissertation?
Yes.
And what's been going on with
soon to be Dr. Dave.
Dr. Dave coming up.
Dr. Deeds.
So one of, you know, Dr. Dave. No, I'm just kidding. So one of the things that's been frustrating for me is that trying to get people to get educated about this. And I don't mean just, you know, awareness, but actually getting educated is that teachers and schools and parents are scared to death of this topic. And we're finding out that there's a problem and it starts in the actual education system. Dave, you want to take it over?
Oops, sorry.
You're good. Yeah.
I'm mute right now too. Oh, don't mute yourself.
Yeah. Oh my
God. I bumped it.
I need 9,000 hours of what's wrong with our education system.
Yeah. So, let me start with that. So going into, first off, let's start off with grade school and into high school. There's only a couple of states that mandate that there has to be any type of education that kids have to get on human trafficking. Obviously, it has to be appropriate education for them, right? It's not going to be the same thing you give to an adult. But even still, that's only a handful of states that are doing that. And what they want the kids to have is not very specific. It just basically says that it has to be something that introduces the topic, provides some resources. It doesn't say that it has to be measured. It doesn't say we have to prove that it had any sort of effect.
No different than DARE or any other program of the sort that's like, this is an awareness program.
Yeah. And to be fair, right? Like, I don't want to run around like shaming everybody else because I can't stand. There are people that do that in this field that run around and like, you know, they judge up other people. And so I agree with what Billy says. He's like, anybody who's out there trying to do something, they're awesome. They're a hero because you're doing to address it, you're at least acknowledging it. So, I would say that for grade school up to high school, it's pretty sparse. It's extremely sparse. Like I said, most states, most schools aren't doing anything. Now you get into college. When you get into college, there is not a lot. There's not going to be a lot of schools. I think there's something like over 4,000 universities and colleges across this country. And there was at least one study that I know of that looked at 100 different undergrad programs, and I believe it was like 50 graduate programs. And looking at those, what she did is she found out that the criminal justice division was the one that would teach about human trafficking the most out of all of them. So the criminal justice being criminal justice degrees or criminology, still kind of in the same wheelhouse. And so what she found was, even though that was the one that would have the most, because she looked at the course description in the catalogs, or she looked at the title of the course, there was no courses that were titled in all of these different divisions. So we're probably talking about thousands of classes. Not one was called human trafficking. When she looked at the descriptions, only a few of them, I believe like three or something, mentioned that human trafficking was even included as content within the course. Now, the other courses could have talked about human trafficking, but they didn't include it in their description, so it wasn't going to be a main focal point. So that means that you have, all the way up through college, you're not getting a lot of exposure to criminal or to human trafficking. So it is true, though, that there are some schools in the country that do have courses that are on human trafficking and even offer specialized degrees or certificates in that. But again, those are few and very far between. So then you look at police officers and you think, well, police officers certainly have to know about human trafficking. And so I'm going to give you one short story and I'm going to jump back into this. So my short story is that in 2016, I helped develop a roll call train. And what roll call is the 20 minutes before police officers go out on duty, they get kind of a speech or, you know, a pre-shift meeting from like sergeant, lieutenant or whatever and say, hey, here's the things that we're going to focus on.
Yeah, they're daily briefings, so to speak.
Right, right. So, you know, it's a handful of officers because they're, you know, staggering their shifts. So you get, you know, 12 officers or something like that. Well, we designed this training so that we could do it specifically during roll call. And I helped design it. And I gave it off to a police officer that was part of the nonprofit, and he gave the presentation because police officers are going to listen to police officers a little better. And so, you know, I went with him to go watch this training, and I'm sitting there. He's doing all the talking, and we're talking to these 12 people, and it just seems like they're kind of just taking into whatever. And then afterwards, two of them come up to us, and one was a female who said, "Look, I'm so glad you guys are talking about this because since I left." My department, which was in another state, she's like, I haven't heard anybody talk about this, and I'm so glad you guys mentioned it. And I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. I'm glad I came today. And then this other guy came up, and he said, hey, I really need to get a pamphlet or something like that from you because my stepdaughter is currently being sex trafficked in Florida, and we don't know how to get her back. Wow. And that rocked me because I knew that police officers didn't have, you know, 100% knowledge about human trafficking. Like, I knew that they weren't as well trained as people would like to believe that they were. And it, again, there are some police officers, obviously, you know, sheriffs, local officers, FBI, whatever, the law enforcement, I should say, that is incredibly knowledgeable about human trafficking. And they're probably some of the best experts on the planet. But there are a significant body of, you know, 800,000, 1 million sworn officers that exist in the country that don't. Right. They don't have a zero
idea or training.
Right. Right. Exactly. Yeah. And this guy was one of them. And so I was like, man, I can't even believe my heart went out to him, but it made me really realize that like, okay, that's how bad it is that the police officers You know, they had to wait for somebody to show up and talk about this with a 15-minute PowerPoint and be like, hey, what can I do? So that leads me jumping back into this, which is, if you look at the academies, the academies are, you know, hard up for time, and they are not including it, as far as I know. And one of the schools that I teach at, or one of the colleges, we have an academy there. And far as I know, there's nothing there about human trafficking in that curriculum. So, and then you look, and then this is where I'm going to kind of bring it all together. You look at, backing into the colleges. When I read that study that the 100 different schools, the 100 different programs, and there's only so many courses, I decided to do a content analysis because that's what a nerdy criminal justice person does. So,
person does anyway.
Yeah. So I was like, you know what?
Not play with the numbers,
Chris. You have no idea.
So I wrote to the publishers because I teach, and I asked for a free copy of their most recent criminal justice text. So I wrote to the biggest publishers that existed that for criminal justice text, and I got responses from them. So I managed to get a hold of, I think it was 11 different, it was 11 different texts, and all of them combined together was over 5,000 pages. It was like 5,100 pages. So I went through all these books and I looked for terms related to human trafficking. So sex trafficking, indentured servitude, peonage, bondage, all of these different things. And it wasn't really that many. It was about, you know, 10 or so. And as I looked through, then I would read the content. So when I found it on page 172 or page 563, I would read it and see what they were mentioning. So as I went through this, it was 5,100 pages. Most of it focused on sex trafficking and focused on it as an international scope. So being that somebody came from outside of the country, when in fact something like over 80% of identified human trafficking victims are in fact U.S. citizens. And then even the people who are foreign nationals are typically people who are here legally in the U.S. with visas.
That's just part of the legal process of getting their visa was the fact of you will spend 3 years in servitude making purses in the back alleys of L.A. or whatever.
And sometimes it's like these H-1A visas, they get stuck on farms, and it's not even just tied to them being employed. It's tied to them being employed at that specific place. So it's not like, well, I'm going to quit and I'll go mop somebody else's floor. I'll go harvest strawberries down the road. You're going
to
lose it.
Folks, this right here, this story I'm about to tell you, just to kind of veer off in the world of working visas. My guitarist in my old Grateful Dead band was my sociology professor. This dude was a tenured professor, ended up being a tenured professor at University of Houston. Still had to apply for his freaking work visa annually. I'm talking over 25 years, Jack. 25 years paying taxes in both countries.
Yeah. I don't know if they set it up that way, but that's how it is.
That's just an example of that's how deep that visa situation goes. So, he couldn't not teach because he came on a visa to do that. So, when you're talking about the fact that your visa is tied not only to your industry of work, but to a specific company to work for?
That's messed up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
that's crazy.
And man,
David. That's wild.
It's so bad. Like, there's people known as, and I'm getting a little off track, but I just got to go down this road. It's there's okay people to. Known as farm labor contractors, FLCs. And so, predominantly in California and Texas, stuff like that, where agriculture is a really big. Really big part of the economy, and they will travel to other countries, and they will show you, and they'll show you how to legally get into the country. They'll say, "Look, let's go to the U.S. consulate. I'll show you exactly what you have to do. We'll help you, and so that way you can come to, and we'll say that you're going to be employed on our farm, and it's going to be totally legit."
The 13-1074 farm labor contractors form up on screen from the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, folks.
Feel free to go check it out.
It's a real thing.
And it's crazy because what happens is these farm labor contractors, you know, are making, you know, $100,000 a year for bringing these people in to be exploited on these farms. And the farmers are paying them, whether it's corporate farms or, you know, individuals, you know, who are trying to get by themselves, and but they're willing to exploit other individuals. And these farm labor contractors will make $100,000. There's only, you know, few people in the state that are actually keeping an eye on what's taking place.
Yeah.
And when they do get fined, they only get fined $10,000. So if you're only getting fined $10,000 every 3 to 4 years or whatever it is,
yep.
You know, you take that slap on the wrist, you know, for every if you told me for every $400,000 I'm going to make, I'll lose $10,000. Yep. You just got to get over that moral heap of exploiting another individual.
And,
you know, for some people that work.
This straight up piggybacks the law from the 1990s that was the same thing where it was like, we're going to punish companies that have illegal workers working for them. We're going to get rid of wet kitchens in America.
You know, and I was just saying this to somebody.
And quite literally, not the case. Not the case.
No.
It came down to literally a $10,000 fine is what you'd get.
And they know where they're at.
The fact of getting your $10,000 fine and another inspection 6 months down the line, you'd have spent more than $10,000 in the labor to do it right than it was to take advantage of people and use them as human slaves.
Yeah. And then just to bring this full circle.
Yeah.
What we're doing to educate people about this who are looking to be in law enforcement. When I looked at those 11 textbooks, what I found in 5,100 pages of text was that 51 pages mentioned something about human trafficking. Not that it filled it up, because some of it was like a call out box. Or it just mentioned that human trafficking is an illicit activity.
Yeah.
So not even 51 full pages. So that equates to about 1% or just under 1% of those textbooks mentioned what is likely the second largest crime in the world at $150 billion. And that's not from me. That's from the International Labor Organization that says it. So, you know, why are we not teaching prospective law enforcement students or a lot of prospective law enforcement officers, students in criminal justice, more about that? And so, you know, that's why my research or my dissertation looked at was looking at the gap that I identified, which was that maybe the instructors, my colleagues, right, are not sufficiently, they don't understand human trafficking. And so therefore they're maybe not teaching it to students. So I looked in, to see, you know, what content do they share in their classroom? How do they share that with their students? And, you know, just kind of explored that. So it's just an exploratory study. And, you know, you're not supposed to have a bias when you go into these things, and it's in an inductive process, but, you know, you're a human being, and in the back of your head, you're like, think I know what I'm going to find here. Sure. And, you know, you don't skew your research, but you have your ideas. And so, exploratory study. So I, you know, I went where, you know, the research led me, and I found out that, a lot of, you know, from what I got, the understanding of human trafficking is coming from the textbooks, which, you know, doing the content analysis ahead of time.
Next to nil. That's like covering the opium trade in America.
It doesn't give them a fit. If they looked at it, it doesn't give them a fair representation of what human trafficking is, because it barely mentions labor trafficking, which labor trafficking makes up more than 50% of the trafficking that's taking place. I mean, people don't think about what's taking place on farms and in factories, but I mean, even around the world, I mean, when you talk about who's mining things, right? Or you talk about like down in the Amazon, everybody's like, we got to stop the Amazon from being cut down. If you want to stop the Amazon from being cut down, stop human trafficking, because there are illegal operations that go deep into the Amazon and just start whacking away at it, and they don't care. And then they're destroying it even more because they just leave all their rubbish behind because they're not a legit company. And it's just, I mean, it's insane how deep it runs.
Even right now, I mean, I just posted an article the other day. Here it is coming up on screen right now from Reuters. Amazon tribe suffers mercury contamination as illegal mining spreads. The friggin' in São Paulo, Brazil, the out of control black market mining of gold and the use of mercury to free the gold from the ore is just being dumped into rivers. And these local tribes and stuff are being straight up like put into slavery to go get it. And if you think that cheaper gold is not being used by cheaper products coming out of other countries that manufacture cheaper products en masse.
Yeah, if you want to get depressed, look at gold mining across the world.
Go start looking at iridium. Go start looking at lithium. Like I said earlier, man, go start looking.
It's the green revolution coming up.
Which is even more frightening to me whenever you start thinking about those possibilities. You know,
it's not a possibility. It's going to happen.
Well, it's just a reality because unfortunately, right now we're working in Texas. I want to say it's been permitted and being built, but there is a rare earth mineral mine being dug here in Texas for neodymium, all kinds of stuff, iridium, all kinds of things right here in Texas. We're a huge deposit for it. It's just actively producing it here in country. And that's the problem is that most of these materials used to make our amazing technology, our phones, our computers, our flat screen TVs that wrap around friggin' columns at pixel per pixel range, things like that. They all take these materials that, aside from plastic that might be able to be recycled, lithium can't right now. The power plants for these can't. A lot of the stuff for the circuitry can only be recycled in part and recovered for recycled in part and recovered for use. Let me put that last part in there. It's the recovered for use. Not that you can't like smelt it down in your backyard and go sell it somewhere. Sure you could. But to use it in the same quality as circuit, hell no.
Yeah.
Because now it's impure.
Well, and I mean, for me, I look at all this stuff with human data. I look at human trafficking. Like, does legalizing prostitution, does that reduce the amount of sex trafficking, or does it end up increasing it? I look at generational people being in debt and then handing that off generationally in India and the group known as the Untouchables that are just rampantly being enslaved. And so I look at all that stuff and I think, okay, where do I, me talking about all of it, it's just going to, people are going to be overwhelmed. So that's why I kind of chose my lane to be the education aspect, but I don't want the education to just be education that you just get and then you feel good about yourself while you sit under your blanket and read about it. You got to get up and do something, right?
That's
like
right.
There's got to be an action that you're doing after you hear about that. So it's like, after you hear about it, start keeping people in your network safe. So start with your closest network. So the people that are in your house. So when you find out about human trafficking, how it really all, even if you take the course, you'll find out that, hey, first thing I got to do is I got to check out what my kids are doing on video games, because I've been busy trying to keep them away from that white van you guys are talking about. But when I let them jump on Fortnite, I think they're safe because they're in the living room. But they put those headsets on and I can't hear that there's a guy grooming your kid right then and there, or he's messaging him.
Terrorists yeah, he's telling him to go to Discord. Them to freaking plot plans.
So to me, I think it's like empower people by giving them this knowledge of like, here's how you're going to keep your local people safe, right, in your immediate network. Then you can start telling your friends. You can start doing things. You learn that labor trafficking is human trafficking, and you could say, hey, look. I know that fair trade might not be, the best thing, 100%, right? Or direct trade. You can look into that, like groups like Equal Exchange, who are, you can, if you go, and I broke this down for somebody the other day too, but if you try to drink fair trade coffee, let's say, or direct trade, you get coffee that is slave free, right? And you're like, I'm going to drink that. And I'm going to do that because I want to make an impact against human trafficking. This is my actionable step. And I drink fair trade coffee only, right? And, at home at least. But me doing that by myself, it will take me 236 years of drinking the average amount of coffee, which the average American drinks. Yeah, the average American drinks 2 to 3 cups a day. So if I do that for 236 years, I will, by myself, shut down an entire plantation. I think it's like a plantation that's like 20 acres or something like that, you'd shut that down essentially by not buying their product because they're not selling it, right? So
what you're saying, number one, is pick it up, drink more coffee, buy more fair trade coffee, drink like 2-3 pots of it a day and make a real dent.
That's right.
Everybody needs to get jacked. Everybody needs to turn into Seattle if we're going to stop human trafficking. Everybody get a caffeine rush to stop human trafficking. That's it.
Well, I mean, if you, Dave, just 2 seconds. I mean, like,
go, dude.
I mean, look at Starbucks. How much fair trade do they sell? I mean, it should be every one of those drinks.
What is it?
It should be.
Maybe 2-3%?
I don't know, Dave.
They do international studies. Yeah, they have their own brand of that oversees it, but they own it just like Nestle owns its own, right? Like it has a
good analogy.
Yeah, so in any case, you know, if the point I was going to make is me by myself doing it 236 years, but me with 236 people in 1 year, we could shut down an entire plantation.
That's right.
You know,
that's drinking it every day, every cup of coffee.
Well,
and I have no problem drinking every day.
Yeah.
Oh, coffee,
that is. No. And you know, hey, it may be, you know, 50 cents more per cup, you know, the question comes down to, what is that prevention worth for you? And what are you literally, you'll like it more when you see the video and see your prevention page pop up at the same time. but quite literally, it's one of those, like, what difference can you make? And like, for me, the difference I could make, David, was to stay friends with Billy.
Yeah.
And to keep having Billy on my show, and to have you guys on my show, and to have you on my show, even without Billy being here. True. When Billy can't make it, maybe you can. And we talk about this because it is one of the deepest and most horrifying. I've got a 4.5-year-old that sleeps on on the backside of Billy right now.
Well, and I got to tell you, man, because I'll have to jump off here in just a couple minutes, but I want to just say this really quick. I have 4 kids myself. And as much as I'm conscious of this, that my kids have literally drawn pictures of me with a t-shirt that says human trafficking hater, they have openly said in the grocery store, my dad does human trafficking. So they out of context, but they are very aware.
I can't tell you the number of times that I've been like, okay, so let's learn about trafficking education, Billy. And it's like, well, wait, hold on. Trafficking prevention.
Yeah. Yeah,
education, right. Out of traffic.
That's a tough one.
Not
right. but even with my kids being as aware as they are, and they're all 10 and under. Even with them being as aware of it, you know, they still get online, and you know, when I let them play a game online, I'm sitting there with them, and there's still people that try to jump on there and say, you know, hi to them, or you know, try to get them involved in conversation. And I heard my son was playing Roblox. He was sitting in the living room. I was right there in the kitchen. And, you know, I heard people saying some pretty grotesque things. And, you know, then I had to just let him know, like, hey, look, you're not playing Roblox at all. So, and again, if somebody's letting their kid play Roblox and hears this, I'm not telling you not to have your kid play Roblox, because that's the choice that I made. Just like I make the choice to buy fair trade coffee. And that just works for me. You know, we can't all do it. And I think that's what I wanted to say when you said that you had Billy on your show. However you choose to engage this fight against human trafficking, whether it's raising awareness or if you're like Operation Underground Railroad and you're literally taking like ex-military guys and going to other countries and jacking people, like that's great, right? Like whatever your thing is to work against it, that's fine, because maybe you're doing something else that's helping out the world, right? Like maybe you're fighting against, you know, childhood cancer, or you're doing something against like ALS. So, you know, everybody's doing, I'd say as long as you're doing something to try to make the planet better, right? Like as long as you're doing something to help out. And if you want to do something, you know, like a little part to help out human trafficking, because you're like, hey, like I got 5 other causes. Like my wife's really big again, like about the environment. That's her big cause.
Yeah.
You know, but she still points out things that, are human trafficking related because she knows that I care about it. So that's kind of like her little part. And every once in a while, she'll grab something that's fair trade. Like, you know, hey, I found these randomly while she was at the store. I found these pears. They're fair trade pears or fair trade tomatoes that just randomly pop up. And so, you know, it's like, that's what you can do. You, it doesn't have to be 100%. You don't have to go and save the day.
No, just, no.
You know, throw a couple pennies in the pot. Yeah. Help out a little bit.
Well, and that's just it. I kind of come at it. There was a guy many years ago on 90.1 KPFT in Houston. Shout out to Scott Summers. Whenever they did their fundraiser and stuff like that, Scott on the Avant-Garde program had them make a special fundraiser for his people that were there between like 10 and midnight on a Sunday night. He's like, you got to understand, the people that are listening from 10 to midnight on a Sunday night are totally different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if we come up with like a buck a month club,
Anything,
to this day, I don't have it right now because now I drink out of my Curious Realm mug, but I used to drink out of my 90.1 mug out of solidarity. I got my 90.1 mug from the book of the, from the Buck a Month Club and ended up being on the radio once a month.
You know, I,
because of the Buck a Month Club.
While you mentioned a blank a month club, Radical Empathy actually has a monthly donation possibility. So I would like to shout out to my friend, Jesse. Jesse, you are amazing. I know you can barely afford it, but Jesse puts in $3 a month.
Wow.
And I mean, it's unbelievable. So it's like the little things that help
you
us
know,
actually
man,
have our hosting paid for.
Hey.
Just little stuff really adds up.
Stuff
for us.
Like that. Like, dude, even a social media campaign. You would be surprised.
That stuff's not free.
Hey, with a proper curated reach, I will not lie, and I'll show you guys how to do it whenever we're off air sometime, fellas. $5. Last week's episode reached 35,000 people and had over 800 interactions with it.
Yeah, I'm ready for you to teach me.
For $5.
Yep,
I'm $5.
Ready.
You know, it when it comes to that kind of stuff, when it comes to those things, like you may not think it's a lot to give $10 a month, but when $10 a month can help a program like these guys and PBJ Learning and Radical Empathy be able to reach 10, 15,000 people a week with this cause, like, dude, that's two Starbucks.
Can I just tell you really quick before I jump off?
Go ahead.
I just want to throw this out there. So when I started the Human Trafficking Hater YouTube page, I ran it for a little while. Then I tried to research how other people ran their pages. And I found out that there was Patreon, which is basically like if you create YouTube and you don't want to have, you know, shady ads or something like that, or you're not getting enough, you know, income from it, but you want to make good quality content. You can have a Patreon account and people can literally go there and say, hey, look, I support the content that's on your channel. And I know that you're not, you know, you can't pay your bills out just off of making this. So I'm going to put money into your Patreon account.
Yeah.
And I set this thing up and I always put the link for it in my videos.
Yeah.
And I never once had anybody put anything into it. And, you know, to be fair, I don't really add a lot of extra content onto my Patreon. It's just kind of there if somebody likes the channel. Sure. And I kept on putting it in there. And as I've, you know, been forced to finish my dissertation, I had to, you know, my videos have become a little bit more like, you know, 2 weeks in between or 3 weeks in between as opposed to one or two a week. And this lady just decided to put in, $4, you know, like 2 months ago. She did $4 a month.
Wow.
And so I'm only putting that in there because she's my only Patreon person. And I love and appreciate the fact that, you know, she decided to just do $4 a month and it was so invigorating to just have somebody support you. You are making quality content. So
that's right.
Even for that, just for the motivation that goes into it.
Hey,
you know, so
and
I appreciated
like I said,
it.
The you might not think $4 a month makes a hell of a lot of difference,
we
folks.
We notice every penny.
But
yeah,
every penny.
But when you can put a post out and boost it for $4 and reach 35,000, yeah, 50,000 people,
right,
for a cause, your $4 just made a damn bit of difference. A damn bit, yeah, of difference.
Yeah.
That's,
you know,
right. And so I look forward to coming back on here. And
oh,
I wish
again and
that
again
I
and again, David. Like, oh, I said, I love Billy, but he does not have to be here for you to be on this show.
You got that right.
Oh, dude.
He drinks
I will
a lot
allocate
of scotch.
My time. I will allocate my time.
That's right.
That's the only reason.
Well, hey, I'll be up front with you guys. I'm not a big drinker, but I'm definitely drinking a Guinness right now. My wife, nice, made a meal the other day that she needed like 3 ounces of
Guinness.
Of Guinness, and we could. I went to go buy a can, and I'm like, all they have is a 6-pack, yeah, and I was like, well, I guess I'm going to have to help out. This is my
guess
contribution
I got a month
in the
worth
kitchen.
Of Guinness at the house now.
Well, I'm making it disappear in a week at this rate,
there you
and
go.
I just drank
there
one while we were doing the show.
Well, that's what we're talking about.
Let everybody know, because of course the last few minutes with,
yeah,
any guest is always time for shameless self-promotion, and I know that you have to go. Getting,
yep,
a hold of Billy is one thing. Getting a hold of you is like
miracle.
A shot in the dark,
yeah,
dude. The fact that we had,
yeah,
both of you guys on tonight was a beautiful golden moment, David. Thank you.
Dude,
so
that's
much.
So kind. Thank you. Yeah, no, I appreciate that, man.
Like,
yeah,
I said, like I've told Billy before, my audience is your audience. My group is your group on Facebook. Anytime.
Oh,
anytime you,
so you
got something to promote or put out or a new course, get a hold of us. We'll have you on the show. That's what,
yeah,
we're
the only
about.
Thing that, dude, and I, there's a lot of things that I can mention, but I think the biggest thing that I can promote is that we just, you know, and Billy probably already said this before, but the course that we made, it wasn't like a money grab. It wasn't, mm-hmm, it was our why mattered for that, right?
Yeah.
Our why was that we looked around and the other course that we saw, we just didn't think that they were doing it, right? And,
yeah,
it, and again, I'm not throwing shade at those courses.
No.
I'm just saying that for me, that wasn't like when I teach in my classroom, because I've been teaching for 8 years now, I like to do a lot of interaction. I like to get people out of their seats and stop trying to look at Facebook, you know, in between their kneecaps while they're pretending that they're reading the book.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, I want to get you involved. Cause I think that, you know, experience it is a better way to educate. So,
yeah,
getting people involved. And so I would just say my shameless thing would be just go to pbjlearning.com and take the course. Yeah. Oh, the only thing you have to lose is $5 and a little bit of your time. So for $5, what that equates to is, even if you don't like the course for some reason, I'd be happy to hear exactly why you don't like the course, because we are happy to address, yeah, and try to make it better. But your $5 goes to educate one of the kids that I'm talking about that's not
that's
getting
right.
this education in school. So we are partnering with Radical Empathy so that way those courses can be donated for free. So you pay $5 to get it for yourself, but for each one, you teach one. So you get one course that then we give the course to Radical Empathy to give to a student and, you know, in a grade school or a high school,
yeah,
somewhere. So, you know, and
it's really great.
Yeah, it breaks it down so simply. You can do it on your phone, tablet, computer. And like I said, this is not me doing a money grab. Like, oh, he's promoting his book because he's getting so much. No, I'm doing it because,
yeah,
I've gone around with
nonprofits. Teaching people,
yeah,
about human trafficking.
Oh, yeah, that's
you
what
know,
happened.
As
you know,
we speak, I'm blowing my
about.
Nose into $100
that's what
bill.
That's what it's about. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. You know,
he needs some new
wheels on his Esprit, folks. He's got a Lotus, and he needs some new,
yes,
wheels on him. That's
right.
That's what David's all about.
You know what I'm doing is I'm trying to make myself happy for the day when I'm 85, 90, and I'm looking back,
yeah,
and it's like, what was I doing when I was 38 years old? Was,
yeah,
I running around trying to worry about how much stuff I could get? Was I trying to get a bigger place? I mean, my Lotus is just fine with the wheels it has.
That's
I,
right.
You know,
that's right.
You know,
totally
so
fine with stock rims.
Yeah,
yeah, I got it when
no
Pretty
reason.
Woman was cool.
I got straight up hubcaps on it. No reason for rims.
Yeah. So now that I've got my super fly car, I just want to help the people.
That's right.
But it really is, man. It's just about like, you know, and it's not about a legacy or anything like that. It's just about, I don't want to waste my time running around with, you know, to me, with a superficial thing, right? Like, I don't care about, like, you know, having more and more extravagant stuff. So I just want to make an impact. And I mean, when I found out about this like 12 years ago, I was like, are you kidding me? This is the most horrible thing I've ever heard. I'm like, why are we not all fighting against this?
And to the point that you have devoted your doctoral study to it.
Can I just say that Dave has been on a vacation and he sits by the pool and reads books about human trafficking?
The most boring sounding book, The Seductions of Quantification.
Yeah.
And I mean, I need to get together
and go bowling, Dave.
Dude, I brought a pink highlighter with me. I'm sitting poolside in Florida reading this book. And I remember we went as a family trip, and I remember my sister-in-law was like, what are you reading? And I told her, and she was like, and you got a highlighter? And I'm like, yeah, that way I'll remember.
I was like,
I don't have to go through all the notes.
So remember the good bits.
And then she shot my nephew, and she's like, come over here. She's like, look at this. She's like, he's reading this for fun. And that's when I knew I'm a nerdy criminal justice guy. I totally owned it.
You got to at that point. You got to point it out with pride and be like, you're not?
Yeah, and you know what, man? I'll come back on the show again, and I'll list off all the books that I think that are great for people, and there's ones that show like, you know, I know, so I'll cut it off there because I'll never get off this.
Literally, I'll have you send me a list, and we will add them to the Curious Realm store.
We will have
so that people can get them.
But
I said, man, you are welcome on time and time and time again. This is one of the numerous.
I will definitely look to be back.
This is one of the numerous causes that we have on this show that are so near and dear to our hearts because of people like Billy and the work that he's done and the progress that he's made. I'm even getting choked up right now, even just thinking about like this dude and his daughter that I met at an exhibit at a gaming conference. Who now has built this beautiful thing with you to help stop things like this horrible crap up on our screen right now, where people around the world have to be informed about what to look out for in a hotel that they came to stay at for a vacation. Like I've seen this stuff at family resorts that I go stay at. That's at Vegas. But I've seen it in the hotel elevator at like resorts that I go stay at in Orlando and stuff like that for work, man. We're like 8-year-old kids are taking the elevator with me all day, you know?
Yeah, and the hospitality industry, as we're completing that course, you know, the more research that you do into it, anything, the more you look into it, the more that you are like, wow, this is just so grotesque that there's kids this young that are being trafficked out of hotels
that leaves us on a great note. Not that that's like a happy note, but that leaves us on a point of conversation for next time that you and Billy are on to springboard about the hospitality industry and the slavery industry and human trafficking and how prevalent it is within that, even within housekeeping and all that kind of stuff. So one last time for shameless and proper self-promotion of PBJ Learning, David, let us know where to go, where to sign up for classes, all that kind of stuff.
So pbjlearning.com, super easy, just pbjlearning.com. You go there. The website's going to smack you right in the face with exactly what we're about, which is trying to educate people. And it's just going to tell you for each one, you're going to teach one. So you're just going to click right on human trafficking essentials. And it's just going to ask you to, add it to your cart. You add it to your cart for $5. You know, you can teach one kid. If you want to do 10, you can help teach two kids. You want to do 20, four kids, right? So you can, whatever it is that your heart feels compelled to do, go ahead and do that. But it's going to make a difference, right? So, you know, the $4, $5 that we're talking about before, it all makes a difference. And it's also a motivation for Billy and I, because, you know, as we've had to struggle to figure this out, you know, everybody that puts in something for the course is just an affirmation to us that we're doing it right. That, you know,
that
we didn't need to make
this. The course.
Yeah. That more people need it and that more people want it. And so, you know, if you're on the fence about it, I would say just do it for $5. I mean, that's literally cheaper than a cup of Starbucks.
And quite honestly, folks, I would encourage you for $5 to not only take the course, but sit down and for that $5, take full advantage of everybody in your home with that $5 course. Sit them down for that 15, 20 minutes that the video is.
They can start the course over from the beginning.
I don't care if they're fifth. I don't care if they're fifth grade, man. This is a conversation that needs to happen, because like we mentioned earlier, when Billy showed up at my house to see my 4.5-year-old son ask permission to go talk to that boy, like, gave me goosebumps and made my heart jump for joy.
Yeah, that was the right thing to do.
Because he's met Billy 2 or 3 times, like, to the point where like he wouldn't go to bed because Billy was in the room and he wanted to talk to Billy. Things like that. Yeah. So for him to still say, "Can I talk to him?" to me and his mom was a huge point of validation. And I think that is such an entire part of this. Not just the necessarily stranger danger, but the willingness to have a conversation with somebody as young as 4. And a real conversation where it's like, hey, treat him like a 10-year-old, then treat the 10-year-old like a 20-year-old, man. You know?
Yeah.
Like, they can process more than you give them credit for, people.
Right.
A whole lot more.
Yeah, and if you don't do it, somebody else will, right?
That's right.
Like, so it's not like you have to be that moral entrepreneur for your kids, because if you don't, somebody else is going to get in. Like, if you think, I'm not going to ever talk to my kids about sex, well, at some point, either somebody else will, or some pornographic material will do it for you. So you got to get into that. Jump
entrepreneur.
In there.
I can't, you are bound to be a professor, dude. Like,
yeah,
quite literally, with terminology like moral entrepreneur, kudos to you, brother.
That was somebody else's terminology. I just reused it, but I appreciate the chance to be on the show. This was great.
Hey,
so thank you so much.
Anytime. Once again, you are more than welcome. Billy, take us out one last time with PBJ Learning, Reef Cares, everything else. David, thank you so much for your time. I know you need to go. Take care of yourself, and we'll talk to you soon, man.
All right. Thanks, Dave.
Thank you so much again.
All right.
All right, guys. Have a good night.
Bye-bye.
So first thing I'm going to say is go to youtube.com and go to Human Trafficking Haters channel. Subscribe. Get him over 1,000 users.
Do
once
it.
Once he hits 1,000, that means that he can actually start posting.
Do it.
Little small updates and text updates and things like that. That's really big. Dave owns Human Trafficking Hater. It's not part of what we do. I want Dave to have a completely separate place where he can do his stuff.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with us, but we support it. I want you to go to pbjlearning.com and check out Human Trafficking Essentials. You can click on it at the top, and when you get down to the purchase page or the purchase area, just click in there. You can decide whatever you want to pay. $5 is great. Anything more is better.
20 plus is where it's at.
Yeah, the average that we're getting right now, or the place that's about the sweet spot's about $20 a piece. And like I said, we're going to give Chris a discount coupon, which will knock it down to zero.
I'll tell you right now, Billy, as a teacher, out of a room of 12, if I didn't reach 4, I wasn't doing my job.
And
if I didn't see 4 light bulbs at some point during the night, that was my fault. Wasn't on the kids.
It's true. So let me tell you a little bit, tiny bit about Human Trafficking Essentials. It's a 2-hour course that you can ingest in tiny little bits and pieces. It works on your phone. It works on your computer browser. You can do anything you want with it. Everything is like 2 to 5 minutes long. Ultimately, it is a 2-hour course, 30 minutes of original video. There's instructional video. There's animated video. There's 90 minutes of lessons and interactive instruction. Interactive activities are 6 times more valuable, and they impart 6 times more knowledge than passive information like a video or just reading something. And you can read more about that on our site. We'll tell you all about it. So that's Human Trafficking Essentials. It is a fantastic course to get you started and learning everything you need to know, starting at definitions all the way to responses, like what it is you're supposed to actually do if you encounter trafficking. It also includes a certificate that can be turned in for any type of job training, any type of continuing education units. If it does not work, we will refund your money. So it is a completely,
wow.
There's no way you can lose with this course. You're going to learn. And if it doesn't help, there's no risk.
My question, Billy, as a human being who loves a Big Mac.
Well, I love a Big Mac, even though it's horrendous for me.
For the price of a Big Mac, is it not worth learning about human trafficking properly?
Well,
$5. And for $5, you get to teach somebody else. You get to teach a kid about this. You get to teach a kid to be like, hey.
You will literally save a kid's life.
Guaranteed.
Guaranteed.
Guaranteed. As somebody who worked, and granted, I cannot say this is straight up truth out of the hundreds of children that I taught between the ages of 4 to senior in high school, and people even older, into 40, over a decade of my life, hundreds and hundreds of people. I cannot say that I ever met somebody that was trafficked within that time. I've met people that have been trafficked afterward, but I also didn't know the signs of being trafficked.
It's a huge mess. I mean, you know, you've heard me tell these stories about meeting people, talking to them about being trafficked. And I've taken this VR experience to different places and then find out that the people that are running a nonprofit that has nothing to do with trafficking, their child is being trafficked. I mean, I wear a shirt that talks about it. I get constantly, you know, brought up. One of my friends wanted to volunteer with me. It turns out she realized after listening to a 45-minute conversation, she realized that she was trafficked. And then a couple of years later, she realized that she was third-generation trafficked. It's unbelievable.
Wow.
So as you're saying, let's sign this thing out. So the thing that you're doing by purchasing a course through PBJ Learning is you're actually helping Radical Empathy Education Foundation educate kids, students in schools all across America. And if you decide that you want to donate to Radical Empathy Education Foundation, you go to reefcares.org, and please, a couple of dollars a month makes all the difference in the world. What we are doing is we are prepping right now for an American-wide tour where we're taking headsets directly to the public and educating them and teaching them how this can actually happen. Reefcares.org. It's an amazing opportunity that we have, and we need all the help we can get. Chris, take us out.
Hey, man, I can't even thank you enough for always coming on, Billy, always talking about this stuff. Like I said, every single time you are on, this is one of the hardest conversations that we have as a show.
Oh, it sucks.
Targeted individuals is one thing. No offense to all you targeted individuals out there. Things like that.
And that's
you are a victim of a technology that is beyond your means, that is beyond your control. When somebody specifically approaches you like a freaking lion approaches an antelope in a field.
That's right.
Because you are victimable. You are transgressible. You are vulnerable in that way. And they see it and they spot it and they take care of it. That is nefarious on a whole day.
I don't
F-bomb on my show, man, but that is nefarious on a whole different fucking level.
It is. learn
pardon
all
my
about
language
it through Human Trafficking Essentials on pbjlearning.com. It will
That's right.
blow your mind. Vulnerabilities, societal vulnerabilities, individual vulnerabilities, poorness. And I
yeah.
would say this, that I saw a recent video. The thing that left me speechless was that someone had been trafficked for years. And what she said was, poverty is the biggest pimp.
Damn right. Damn right.
America.
Every single one of the victims of Jeffrey Epstein.
America.
Every single victim of Ghislaine Maxwell and Jeffrey Epstein. It was done because of the money that was provided them.
That's it. And it works for labor trafficking. It works for sex trafficking. America is poor. We are broken. We need help. And these victims.
Yep.
People are just waiting to be victims. Period.
Yeah.
Because we're poor.
Yeah. Absolutely. Billy, as always, man.
Thank you so much.
Hey, thank
Chris,
you, brother. This and this mission for you, for me, goes beyond this show. It goes into personal friendship. It goes into the fate of my young son on the other side of this wall.
I'm here
and
for you,
to,
man.
To see that, to see your dedication to this, David's dedication to this, it's great to see you guys getting the recognition you deserve for the work that you have done for years.
Thanks, man.
So kudos on the Psychology Today. Kudos on FBI reaching out, on you know, local sheriffs reaching out.
Oh, we've yeah.
everything.
We've been
it's beautiful,
fortunate.
Man. Thanks. So fantastic. Man. I can't even, folks, the concept of human trafficking, the concept of taking advantage of our fellow humans in that way. Our most vulnerable humans. Well, and you know, we once again, we always think about it in terms of children. But the most vulnerable.
This is happening to 95-year-old people that are inside of, you know, elderly homes. I mean,
that's
and people have a kink for that, and they like the ones that actually know what's going on. Oh,
hey,
dude, you got the whole joke from
Happy Gilmore where they're making the frigging quilts or you know, making the crocheted blankets and stuff with the grannies. But at the same time, yeah, man. Those things happen. Those things are happening.
Dude,
they are real.
It's cradle to grave.
It doesn't change.
Nope.
And we've got to do something about it. We've got to bring it to the forefront. We have to be willing to have the uncomfortable conversation. And with that in mind, we're getting ready to come up to segment number two, about an uncomfortable conversation and the conversation going on right now in our society regarding the Spotify exodus, regarding Neil Young and Joni Mitchell, who has now joined Neil Young in removing their music from Spotify. Now, granted, Billy, one of the odd things amongst this is the fact that, like, Blackstone, an investment company,
our favorite friends,
who is invested in a lot of stuff, and feel free to look this up. This is from the Blackstone website. They actively, about a year ago, brought in the former CEO of Pfizer as one of their head advisors.
Fact.
This is a fact. And make of all this information what you will. I am putting forth no hypothesis. I am putting forth no theory. I am just stating four random facts. Fact one, Blackstone was brought in the former CEO of Pfizer as their head advisor to their legal team. So in addition to that, Blackstone is half owner in a company with Hipgnosis, who a year ago purchased 50% of all of the royalties of Neil Young's music.
Coincidence.
Coincidentally. And even more coincidentally is the fact that It's come out the fact that there is even connection between hypnosis and Pfizer and the buying of a great number of people's rights. And is this connected to the whole Spotify thing?
You know, I'd now, like to add for other people that you can look up Blackstone and find out that they are purchasing entire subdivisions.
Yep.
So that it will generate revenue for their share, their the stockholders, so to speak, which include people's retirement funds.
Oh.
So let's
interesting.
Let's talk. Well, we don't have to talk about it, but I mean, look it up yourselves. Well, do your own research.
It's an interesting fact, and it was one of those, you know,
a lot of the time
my wife points out, hey, you know, I don't know if you need to necessarily talk about that. And even our next segment, granted, my wife loves me. My wife loves the show. She's been on the show. She's been not on Curious Realm, but on Dudes and Beer. And she has been a proponent of this show since day one. I think mainly because it got me out of the house Tuesday nights. However,
put you in a room.
It's also the fact of
the house. That's yeah. True.
It's the fact of she has supported me in this endeavor. And on occasion, yeah, I'll come to her with a guest or a topic and be like, do you think I should cover this? And she's like, I don't know. That's a hot tater. Rittenhouse was one of those.
Yep.
For episode one of this. And this was one. And I was like, I think it needs to be talked about. I think it needs to be broached. We need to talk about it in the sense of what is opinion? What's not opinion? Who is media? Who isn't media? I'm granted media passes for things, but am I the media, so to speak? I don't know.
Did you go to journalism school?
I don't give a damn if I went to journalism school.
I know, just that's one of those things.
But these things and these facts being put out there. It's one of those that you're like, this is curious and it's interesting. And is it the source? No, probably not. Neil Young has always been Neil Young and always been an outspoken proponent of things. I think it's really interesting
Or opponent of things.
As is Joni Mitchell, as is the Foo Fighters, things like that. The people that are talking about taking their music off platform. Now, I also understand fully the other side of the argument and the fact of Joe Rogan is, hey, he's just a podcaster, man. He's sitting there having conversations with people.
Yep, that's right.
And like he says, and we'll air the video after commercial and our segment coming up with Todd Cochran from Blueberry. You know, as he says in that video, like, hey, these are people who are top in their field. The two episodes that were questioned were with people that are top in their field, like literally the creator of mRNA vaccines.
Technology.
The technology patent for mRNA.
On the patent.
The patent holder. Yeah, one of the patent holders for it. So as opposed to your average doctor who is giving you their medical opinion, here is a medical opinion from the doctor who helped create the technology used to create the technology. So is it misinformation?
Well, you know,
I don't know.
If you don't mind me saying, I mean,
the thing
is that he's been accused of misinformation.
Yes.
Yet no one has defined what that misinformation was.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I would just suggest people do their research and see if you can figure out which part was misinformation.
Yeah. And hey, because you may have to listen to a 5-hour long interview to find out.
I've yet to see anybody actually expound upon which medical misinformation there was.
Yeah. And
again, these are, do your own research.
Do it. And my audience knows that. My audience knows to do their own research, to read numerous articles from numerous sources, things like that. But coming up after this commercial break, we will actively be hearing from Joe Rogan's mouth himself. We will be listening to his apology, his explanation of what his show is, what it's about, what happened in those episodes, what this whole situation is about. And then we will be joined in a pre-recorded conversation for our second part with Todd Cochran, CEO of Blueberry Podcasting, about how this situation impacts the podcasting industry, what it means, and what the possibilities are. We will get into that and more right after this, folks. Stay tuned. With the rise in attention to the health benefits of cannabis and cannabinoids, including CBD, True Hemp Science has become one of the premier providers of full-spectrum CBD and CBD-related products. Using a proprietary spagyric process, True Hemp Science extracts maximum benefit from the whole hemp plant. Buds, leaves, stems, seeds, even roots. Every part of the plant is used and then reused to formulate a rich, complex profile of CBD, CBD derivatives, and terpenes guaranteed to provide the relief and benefits you need daily. Visit TrueHempScience.com to experience the best CBD oils, edibles, and topicals on the market today. And use code CURIOUS7 to save 7% off your entire purchase of $50 or more and get 2 25-milligram CBD cookies or brownies free. That website again is TrueHempScience.com and the code is CURIOUS7. Curious Realm Podcast is your source for the latest and greatest news and events in the world of the paranormal, esoteric, and forbidden knowledge. And there's no better way to spark the conversation than with items from the Curious Realm store. Choose from fan favorites like hoodies, mouse pads, coffee mugs, and more. Buy books and items from your favorite Curious Realm guests. Get your hands on the latest gear for paranormal investigations and experiments we discuss on the show. Open your web browser and stop on by the Curious Realm store at curiousrealm.com/store to buy the latest Curious Realm wear and out-of-this-world gifts for yourself, your family, or a mind that you want to open. That website again is curiousrealm.com/store. Have you considered starting a podcast? Looking for a way to make your business a voice of authority in an industry? Then Podcast Cadet is the solution for you. Whether starting a podcast for yourself, your brand, business, school, church, or just plain fun, Podcast Cadet is here to help you navigate the waters of the podcast industry. Specializing in one-on-one consultation and training with industry professionals in fields ranging from podcast technology and editing to distribution, monetization, and even social media strategies. Podcast Cadet tailors their services to the specific needs of you and your podcast. Do you already have a podcast and trying to find ways to engage and grow your audience? Sign up for your Podcast Cadet audit today and let us help you explore new and exciting ways to leverage your content and elevate your podcast brand to whole new levels. From consultational workshops to affordable podcast production and maintenance packages, Podcast Cadet is your one-stop shop for everything podcast-related on the internet. Visit PodcastCadet.com today to sign up for your consultation or training and use code CURIOUS20 to save 20% off your entire purchase. That website again is PodcastCadet.com. And we are back from commercial, folks. In this segment, we are going to be joined here in just a moment by Todd Cochran. He is the CEO of Blueberry Podcasting. He's a good friend. I've been on the road with him recently. We will be talking about the recent kerfuffle with Joe Rogan and the Spotify exodus, the number of artists talking about leaving Spotify, and what kind of dangerous precipice this leaves us on in the world of podcasting, in the world of free speech, in the world of content creation, and of course, worries of deplatforming out there. So let's hear it from the man himself. Let's hear it from Joe. Here is the apology that he recently put out on social
media. Hello, friends. I wanted to make a video to address some of the controversy that's been going on over the past few days. And first of all, to say thank you to everyone that sent love and support. I truly, truly appreciate it. And it's been very nice to hear from you. I wanted to make this video, first of all, because I think there's a lot of people that have a distorted perception of what I do, maybe based on sound bites or based on headlines of articles that are disparaging. The podcast has been accused of spreading dangerous misinformation, specifically about two episodes, a little bit about some other ones, but specifically about two, one with Dr. Peter McCullough and one with Dr. Robert Malone. Dr. Peter McCullough is a cardiologist, and he is the most published physician in his field in history. Dr. Robert Malone owns 9 patents on the creation of mRNA vaccine technology and is at least partially responsible for the creation of the technology that led to mRNA vaccines. Both these people are very highly credentialed, very intelligent, very accomplished people, and they have an opinion that's different from the mainstream narrative. I wanted to hear what their opinion is. I had them on, and because of that, those episodes in particular – those episodes were labeled as being dangerous. They had dangerous misinformation in them. The problem I have with the term misinformation, especially today, is that many of the things that we thought of as misinformation just a short while ago are now accepted as fact. Like, for instance, 8 months ago, if you said, if you get vaccinated, you can still catch COVID and you can still spread COVID, you would be removed from social media. They would ban you from certain platforms. Now, that's accepted as fact. If you said, I don't think cloth masks work, you would be banned from social media. Now, that's openly and repeatedly stated on CNN. If you said, I think it's possible that COVID-19 came from a lab, you'd be banned from many social media platforms. Now, that's on the cover of Newsweek. All of those theories that at one point in time were banned were openly discussed by those two men that I had on my podcast that have been accused of dangerous misinformation. I do not know if they're right. I don't know because I'm not a doctor. I'm not a scientist. I'm just a person who sits down and talks to people and has conversations with them. Do I get things wrong? Absolutely. I get things wrong, but I try to correct them. Whenever I get something wrong, I try to correct it because I'm interested in telling the truth. I'm interested in finding out what the truth is. And I'm interested in having interesting conversations with people that have differing opinions. I'm not interested in only talking to people that have one perspective. That's one of the reasons why I had Sanjay Gupta on, Dr. Sanjay Gupta, who I respect very much, and I really enjoyed our conversation together. He has a different opinion than those men do. I had Dr. Michael Osterholm on at the very beginning of the pandemic. He is on President Biden's COVID-19 advisory board. I had Dr. Peter Hotez on, who is a vaccine expert. I'm interested in finding out what is correct and I'm also finding out how people come to these conclusions and what the facts are. Now, because of this controversy, and I'm sure there's a lot of other things going on behind the scenes with these controversies, but moved his music from the platform of Spotify, and Joni Mitchell, and apparently some other people want to as well. I'm very sorry that they feel that way. I most certainly don't want that. I'm a Neil Young fan. I've always been a Neil Young fan. I'll
and
tell you a story at the end of this about that.
Joe continues to go on about his apology, about how much of a fan he is, things like that. Please welcome to the show, Todd Cochran. How are you doing today?
Thanks for having me on.
You're very welcome. Welcome to your first episode of Curious Realm. You've been on other shows of mine previously, but whenever I saw this situation hit on social media, I think you really hit the nail on the head with the concerns that are out there. And the reason specifically that I wanted to have you on is because you are a platform provider. You know, you are a distributor to platforms of podcasts like this show. This show is distributed via Blueberry to podcast networks. So it can be disturbing whenever you hear things like remove this content.
Or let's censor, or let's put a warning, or let's moderate, or whatever the word may be.
Mm, yeah.
It is concerning.
Yeah. And I mean, even this show, Todd, whenever I was making the intro, I toyed with the idea because whenever Dudes and Beer first started, we had like a little disclaimer that played at the beginning that was like, you know, the People's Court music with Beavis and Butthead and all kinds of things. And my wife was like, no, don't put like a trigger warning or anything on there because you're just having conversations with people about different topics.
And, you know, conversations today can be dangerous depending in the eye of the person that is listening to them. But,
yeah,
you know, I think, you know, if we look at what's going on with Joe, you know, he's a definitely influencer out there. He's got a big audience.
Yeah.
Probably, I think Neil Young probably wishes he had as many fans as Joe did right now. But, you know, and I'm a Neil Young fan, too. But
same.
Let's just think about this in a broader context, and let me very, very, very clear from the very get-go. As a podcast hosting provider, we have a very set defined terms of service. We have your do's and don'ts, and our don'ts are very limited. Our don'ts are don't say you're going to hurt somebody or imply you're going to hurt somebody, and don't do hate speech. You know, and honestly, and most people don't even realize this, hate speech is actually protected by the U.S. Constitution. Now, you say, what? Well, basically, you can say what you want to say. I'm not saying that it's not going to be free of consequences.
That's right.
And you may be dropped from a platform because a platform does not have to. You know, they can have on their platform what they want to have on their platform. They're
That's
a business,
right.
You know, and so they can choose to remove or to put warnings as appears Spotify is now doing.
Yes.
But I think what my approach as a podcast hosting provider is, I'm protected as a company under DMCA Section 230 that basically, which a lot of companies don't even really follow anymore. And because Joe is creating a show for Spotify, they are ultimately responsible for his content. But
sure,
for me, I don't have any influence. I don't pay anyone to create content for our company besides
That's
the content
right.
we create on our own. So I am not in the business of going out and doing journalistic review or editing or censoring or saying, no, you can't be here. Now, given if you do something, if you're a white supremacist and you come on and you're invoking hate speech, well, you know, you might have to find yourself a new hosting platform.
Yeah.
But, you know, we react to complaints from listeners or someone says, hey, and then I have a legal counsel that goes in and listens to the content after it's been you know, report it to us.
Yeah.
And makes a decision. I can count on one hand over the past 15 years the number of times we've had to ask someone to leave. And
oh, wow.
So it rarely happens. Now, I'm a private company. I can have what I want on my platform, and so can Spotify. But I think the piece that's really missing, and we should also say here, Chris, Joe's technically no longer a podcaster.
Yes.
Joe is technically a audio program
that is
distributed by Spotify.
Yes. He is a Spotify original now.
That's right.
He is a Spotify original.
He no longer has a show like your show does, where people can follow or subscribe and basically a publicly available RSS feed. Yeah. And that's, you know, there's a big difference here. So
which was what the $100 million buyout was for. And
that's
hey,
right.
I'm sorry, any podcaster out there. I worked for Free Speech Systems. I was an on-air producer for Alex Jones at one point. That's one of my secrets in life. But even stuff like that, whenever you're doing that, like, people don't understand. Number one, hey, all I did was book guests and push buttons, man. Like, if I got politically involved or enraged with every single show that I ever pushed buttons for, Todd, I'd be a broke man.
That's true.
You know, but, like, I can't make a political stand at every single live show that I go out and produce, you know, and you, like you're saying, can't necessarily make that political stand every single time that you are distributing a show through your system.
No. Well, we don't even look at the content. So and there's no way it's been triggered. So that's the key here. But let me be clear about my position here.
Yes.
Podcasting in its truest, purest, free, open market system is the last bastion of free speech.
Yes.
Now, why do I say that? Well, even though that individual, Alex Jones, you were just talking about, was kicked off just about every platform. He was off Apple and just about every platform that had a content review team,
yes.
they bounced him off his platform. But today, you either like his content or you hate his content or what. It doesn't matter where you fall in that spectrum.
Yeah,
but he's still on the air.
Yeah, because he since day one has been putting stuff out through his own RSS feed and through his own website. Even now, even with all that, went out and started his own platform called Band Video.
So
you want to ban me? All right, I'll just brand it.
Right. So he has a, you know, the reason, and it really pisses people off.
It does.
That he has a public podcast RSS feed that's easily subscribable to, and almost, here's the funny thing, Apple banned him.
Yeah.
But you can still subscribe to his show manually through the same app that banned him. So it is an interesting dichotomy here in that where people are worried today about being censored. I think the bigger beauty is, no, you can't. If you have a podcast and you control the .com and you control the RSS feed.
Yep.
And you may have to find a different hosting provider. You may have to spool your own servers up if you have to, if you're that controversial where no one will do business with you. But where there is a will, there is a way. And people just, they may lose. Again, speech has consequences.
Yes.
So, you know, this freedom of speech is not free of consequences. Because if I say something outlandish on here, there can be consequences, right?
Sure. I may not buy you a beer next time I see you, but,
right.
You know, other than that, I'm not going to there has never been a time that I have not released the content that I have not put. And I mean, like, we had a dude back in the day that straight up walked out of the studio and never came back to the show, Todd. Released it, put it out there. I don't edit conversations because of some of my broadcast experience. I don't want people thinking that I'm chopping up their message.
Right.
You know?
And again, I'm not endorsing.
Yeah.
Condoning, collaborating, nope. being whatever label you want to put on me. I'm not any of that. I'm just here to say one simple thing. There's a reason we double fingered the establishment in 2004 with podcasting.
Hmm.
Because in that when podcasting originated, in order to get on a platform, you had to make a deal with a man. You had to sign a contract. You had, if you wanted distribution, you really had to make a deal. Hmm. Well, we made our own distribution platform. We made our own open spec that basically the genie cannot be put back in the bottle. Long live podcasting, long live free speech. You know, so I think here the real key is, and you know, hypothetically, I said if Joe's kicked off Spotify, well, you know, his critics are going to be really pissed because in about an hour or however long it takes his tech team to get things spooled back up, he'll be back on.
You know,
and I don't think people want to silence Joe. They just want, but again, I think his statement there was very, very accurate. I took some grief in the early days because I was not, you know, I spent 25 years in the military. Gives me a little different perspective on the Chinese. Mm. And, you know, I have no issue, zero issue with the Chinese people, but the Chinese government, that's a whole different ball game.
Yeah.
And, you know, they talk about all these things here about what's happened over the past 2 years, but they don't talk about the human rights. They don't talk about people being ghosted. And you don't hear that conversation come up with, you know, in big discussions anymore. We don't. So for me, it's always curious. The battles people choose. Why aren't we fighting to have those that have been swept off the streets and taken to internment camps freed? You know why? Yeah. Because you don't know about it. Families are silenced if they complain. So here in the United States and other countries, we have the ability to protest our government.
Mm.
We have the ability to protest businesses. And here's the most important thing. We are allowed to have an opinion.
That's right.
Well, you know, it may be wrong, but you can have an opinion.
That's right. That's right. And like he said, hey, man, sometimes I get it wrong. And when I do, I apologize. I get things wrong on this show. And when I do, I apologize. Like, I got no problems backwalking anything that I say. I am not that committed to any hypothesis I put out there, Todd.
Yeah. You know, it's I call it radio speak. I can have an opinion. Let's use a fictitious company, the Bugs Bunny Acme Dynamite Company. And if there is an Acme Dynamite Company, I am not making any reference to you. I'm talking about the Bugs Bunny cartoon. All right. So if I said the Acme Dynamite Company on Bugs Bunny is killing people versus, in my opinion, I think the Acme Dynamite Company is killing people.
Yeah.
Okay, so can Acme still sue me either way? Sure. But they have a much better chance when I say they are versus my opinion is.
Yeah.
Now, you can still get sued for having an opinion. It's going to be a little harder. It's probably going to cost you the same amount in lawyer fees.
Yeah.
But and in the end, it may cost you more from a liability standpoint. But people are allowed to have an opinion and they're allowed to state their opinion. And, you know,
this country was founded on stating your opinion and stating it loudly, so loudly that one of the facts that we bring up on this show all the time, Todd, is that it was less than 20% that stated that opinion loudly.
My grandfather, you know, God rest his soul, he used to play devil's advocate.
Yeah.
He had a staunch political view. And people would show up, and he had a little shop, and they would hang out, and he had a sawmill. And so people, you know, people just come over and, you know, talk.
Sure.
They talk politics or whatever. And I would be amazed as a young teenager sitting on a stool, listening to these old fellas talking, that he would all of a sudden just take up. I'd be like, what is he talking about? I know he doesn't believe that.
Yeah.
He would be the devil's advocate in the the conversation just to drive conversation. He got a big kick out of doing that.
Yeah.
You have to be very careful now playing devil's advocate.
You got to be very careful who you play devil's advocate with.
Yeah.
And even on this show, whenever I'm very careful because of course my experiences with previous employers. Whom I was like, hey, you know, you could literally say, I believe that the government paid somebody to go kill a bunch of children so that they would take your guns. You could say that. That is a hypothesis. What you can't say is children didn't die. There are two different things there, and there's a reason why Alex went before a bunch of courts and why he's losing court cases and things like that. That is not protected by your First Amendment right as the media. And nowhere, granted, does Joe Rogan claim to be the media.
So
he is just a dude having conversations.
And I think what it is we've got to such a fevered pitch.
Yes.
In this country that immediately when you say something that does not fit. For the record, I don't listen to mainstream media anymore because, in my opinion, it leads to mental health issues.
You're not a cortisol junkie?
No, but again, I'm not a doctor. I have no factual basis on that. But in my opinion, the mainstream media is not healthy for one's amygdala. So,
right?
Yeah. Whereas, so. I think here what we have done is people have, in my opinion, become a little bit, I don't even want to use the word because people are going to flip out. Okay, yes, we've lost a lot of people. Yes, this has been a terrible pandemic.
Yes,
you can have your opinion on vaccines. You and I both were vaxxed. We've been to CES, we had to have a vax to go to CES. You know, I'm not a vax denier, all this stuff. Yeah. When I was in the military, I was shot full of stuff. But if I say, if I talked about ivermectin, people would be like, oh my God, you're a vax denier.
Hey,
and I'm
Todd,
like, no, I'm not.
Here's a test for you, guaranteed, because you just mentioned that word. This is a pre-recorded segment. Go listen tomorrow night and guaranteed that part will be muted on Facebook. Guaranteed.
Wow.
It happens to us all the time.
That's amazing. When you say that word.
Yep, it is tagged.
The I word.
Not even joking. Not even. And we have had like Dr. John Hall, like does respiratory therapy and anesthesia and stuff like that. Straight up. And you want to talk about like censorship, folks. Back in the day, episode 293 was straight up banned in 9 countries because we were talking about the end times with an archbishop. Like that's an episode with an archbishop that countries like Iraq and Iran and stuff like that banned.
Right.
Because of the topic that we're talking about. You know.
So I think here what we have to do is, and unfortunately, I just don't think people can do it. I don't think people can we're not allowed to have free will anymore.
Mm.
You know, what is, I can make an opinion for myself. I can make a decision.
Yeah.
You know, they don't want us to make a decision anymore. And they want it to be, and it's a little oversimplification of things, but it's really kind of scary here. If you think about some, because I would have never thought in 100 years that we would be having, people would be freaking out about talking to a doctor a real doctor, not someone that's an internet doctor. A world famous
award-winning doctor.
And having an opinion about something, it's pretty flabbergasting to me. But
yeah.
Again, this is the times we live in. But I think from a, let's not get into that whole, again, I don't have an opinion on any of it. I'm just, yes. we're just having a conversation.
That's it. But
in the end, what it really boils down to is that Facebook can do what they want to do.
That's
Spotify
right.
Spotify can do what they do. YouTube, that's a business model. They decide how they want to operate. If you have your own website, your own .com, you have your own RSS feed, you essentially can be guaranteed that you can say whatever you want, as crazy as it may be or may not.
That's right.
And the consequences will fall where they may based upon whatever comes out of one's mouth.
I would recommend having yourself a legal team. If that is your intent to just let things fall out of your mouth.
Yeah. If it's one thing to be around, having a beer with a couple of friends but there's another thing to put something out in public.
Yes.
It can be detrimental to your financial well-being in the job that you have.
Absolutely.
That
was part of the original rules of Dudes and Beer. Whenever people sat around, we had like a little disclaimer that guests signed whenever they came in. And it was like, if it's something that will get you in trouble at work, might get your kid in trouble at school because you said it, your grandma might like cry. Just don't say it because we don't edit it.
And I'm not here to debate anything about what was said. That's up for the general public to decide.
Absolutely.
Because, again, freedom of speech is not free of consequences. Yeah. And you have to live with what comes out of your mouth or your guest's mouth, or you have to make the appropriate disclaimers and you move on.
Sure.
But I think my opinion is that what we have here with podcasting is pretty doggone precious.
It is.
And it's really unlike most anything we've seen. Now, so you can have your website, you can put video or audio on it. It doesn't have to be a podcast and you have the same effect, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the real difference has been here is we have this global megaphone now through distribution. Yeah. That allows our message to get really everywhere on almost any platform.
Yeah.
And if for the 99.999% of people out there creating content, you're probably never ever going to be the subject of a 250 doctors writing a letter to a company saying, "Hey, we need him censored."
Yeah.
They didn't ask for his removal, but they asked for some for some disclaimers.
Yes. That is what eventually came down was like, look, we'll put a disclaimer on shows, things like that. And I mean, granted, if you're creating a show, there should already be a disclaimer of the fact of anything here is not the opinion of our of our sponsors.
Unless you say it is. Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? There should already be a disclaimer there at the beginning of the show. There is on broadcast, that's FTC regulation. And that's part of what I was about to ask you was, be careful what you ask for, folks, whenever you say regulate it. Because boy, howdy, as soon as the FCC or FTC steps in, I just had a conversation with my buddy the other day who owns a distribution network that puts things out on Roku and Amazon Fire, things like that. And he was like, I think we're going to drop the kids segment that we were looking at doing. And I was like, that's a great idea. Because once you label something as, quote, children's content, you've got a whole different level of responsibility.
Oh, and YouTube has really cracked down on that as well.
Not just YouTube. Yeah. And that's the thing. Once they started making original content, they came underneath FCC rule.
So there's
a difference there, and it's a really fine line difference. You know, like when I started my podcast network, I went out and actively joined BMI and ASCAP because I saw it coming down the line. Like, it will eventually come the fact of you used a clip from one of my shows. Where's my royalty?
Well, hey, they're already collecting.
Hey, yeah, like, so, hey, NBC, you're out there using clips from my show with a guest that I had because this was a relevant topic. Where's my royalty? I get paid my 0.003 cents on the download. You know? And yeah, like, there are all kinds of things like that. So, where do you see that going when it comes? Because like you said, right now it is still the beautiful Wild West when it comes to podcasting. Like,
well, we're 17 years in the Wild West. So I think I don't think the Wild West is going to change anytime soon. But when does it come for us getting paid for our content that's used without our permission? That's a good one. I don't know. Can still, you know, here's the thing. You can still go back to those studios, whoever used your content, and say, listen, I take it down. Sure, you didn't ask permission.
Yeah.
You know, you still have that right. You know, everything we create here is, you know, obviously going to be the copyright of your show.
Sure.
So, you know, I think that you have the ability to protect that, and you should protect its usage. Now,
yeah.
You know, I just do a little tech show. I do a show on podcasting, and you know, it's not like something that's going to get quoted in the news per se. But I think that, maybe.
Todd, I think honestly, you don't give yourself enough credit. You and Rob Greenlee both. I mean, you've been around the industry for a lot of years, man, and y'all are really, but. Kind of like the Lewis and Clark.
We have to be careful when we talk, because, you know, sometimes we know stuff that we're either NDA under, or someone passed to us in confidence.
And even whenever I invited you to come on this show and talk about this and talk about the post that you made, I followed it up with, I fully appreciate if you cannot or are not willing to do that. Fully appreciate that.
Well, I'm pretty open. Yep. I'm an open book. So I think in the end, you know, having been in the podcasting space now 17 years, I feel it's part of my duty to remind people on a regular basis what we've created here and what's different about it. And, you know, politics and opinions and campaigns are going to fall where they may. But in the end, again, as long as podcasting remains open and we're not locked into a platform, and Joe signed a contract to be on a platform, and I'm sure there's all kinds of language in there about don't hurt the company, and you know, so he may be borderline up against some contract issues. I'm just guessing, because I've seen some entertainment contracts before, and they're thick as a novel.
Oh yeah.
So I'm sure they've dotted their I's and crossed their T's in reviewing that. So maybe, you know, maybe that's why Joe had announced his apology. Maybe they said, hey, you're hurting us here. Our stock price is going down. We need some damage control. You need to issue an apology. Maybe. I don't know.
You know, man, like we were saying before the show, Joe is a pretty still regular guy as far as like people of that ilk of celebrity go, you know, and I think he's friends with quite a few of the musicians that were kind of supporting and pulling up behind Neil and Jody, Joni Mitchell, who also pulled her music in solidarity with Neil. And the Foo Fighters were talking about it, things like that. And I don't think, now granted, minute-wise, and this is the point that I've made, make no mistake, they made a $100 million exclusive deal with a man. They aren't going to sour that deal over some downloads. And if you think that the minutes listened to, be it Foo Fighters, Joni Mitchell, or Neil Young combined, compared to the minutes on air, the people are listening to of Joe Rogan, you're wrong.
And it's reoccurring and it's fresh.
It's reoccurring. It's fresh. It's evergreen content. You know, no different than the music. But at the same time, when you're talking about minutes listened to and opportunity for ads, you're talking about a vast difference there.
You know, I've listened to exactly two episodes of Joe's podcast in the entire time he's been podcasting. I'm not even a subscriber to his show. You can't be a subscriber. You got to be a subscriber to Spotify to get it.
Yeah.
Or a free account or whatever. So you get, you know, a bunch of ads. But, you know, I've listened to two of his episodes before he made the move over there. And, you know, for me, it's like, yeah, he's a great commentator. He's a great interviewer. I could say the same about Howard Stern being a great interviewer. But do I have Sirius XM? No, I don't. I don't have Sirius XM. So the only thing I hear about Howard Stern is excerpt clips from certain, you know, topics that they may have that makes it in the news. But, you know, don't get me wrong. Another great interviewer.
Absolutely.
And stuff that's been on Howard's show has been pretty controversial. Well, and not necessarily what Howard says, but what some of his guests say.
He made his exclusive because of controversy.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Like,
yeah, he's able to get, he's a master at pulling things out of people that they never want to say, that they shouldn't say, that they do say in a show.
Yeah.
Say that three times real quick.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly. Oh, it's pretty interesting. And to see that. And, you know, you've heard me say it at podcast conferences, Todd. As someone who's worked in broadcast and been on the producer side of things there, the engineering side of things, they are chasing our coattails as podcasters.
Oh, absolutely.
We have stolen their drive time audience, and we've stolen their cubicle audience. People can no longer, like, listen to 101 KLOL. In there, and see, that's how drilled that is into my brain. That's a station from when I was in high school in Houston that hadn't existed in 25 friggin' years, but it's still my go-to.
Here's the thing I think about radio. Radio is very powerful. They're a multi-billion dollar industry. They're not going anywhere anytime soon, but they have an aging audience.
Yes.
I know my kids, who the oldest is 34, do not listen to radio. They listen to streaming music. They have their own music libraries. I'm getting their cars and I see what they're listening to. And I go, the age group that's still with radio is our age group. You know, I would say 40 plus. So what will happen over time is the radio influence will continue to drop. Now, where do people tune in for news and information? Well, if there's some national disaster, there's a storm, you know, people want to know what schools are closed. But now schools are getting to the point where they just send parents a text. They get it, you know, they're using modern technology to inform. It's not necessarily on the radio. We do have a couple of local radio stations here in my small town that, you know, where the car dealerships still advertise and that kind of thing. So they're going to be in business for a while, but they have to move. And I think the telltale signs of this was 5-6 years ago, I would be at a radio conference and we'd be talking about podcasting and the whole room would empty of the 500 people that went out to get a drink and 50 people would remain while the session was going on. And the table has turned. The last radio conference I was in, no one left to go ahead and get a drink.
Yeah.
They stayed. So they're definitely taking notice. But the problem with radio is, Chris, the format can't be duplicated because we haven't had to have our 14, 21, 28, 42, and 55-minute break for advertisement.
That's right. That's right. I take a break at the end of a guest. It might be like we came out of a commercial break into you.
That a holdover from your radio days? Is that why you formatted it that way?
As me with a branded show, that's the opportunity for me to be able to sell the space to advertisers I give a damn about.
right,
for products that I give a damn about, as opposed to like, yeah, let me check mid-roll ads and hope that some political stuff goes through so I can get some decent coin. You know what I mean? But yeah, that's from my radio days, is if I'm going to control something, I'm going to control my brand. I'm going to control the fact that, like, if I'm selling something, it's a product that I actively use.
Right,
you know,
right.
I make the Squatty Potty joke all the time. I know Squatty Potty users. But I make that joke all the time because, hey, if you want Squatty Potty money, it can happen if you've got 100,000 downloads. You know what I mean? But if you want to go out and make some coin as a local podcaster, get yourself a niche podcast and find local businesses and sell them a spot for $50 a month.
Yep.
You know?
But niche in podcasting is hard.
It's
especially
harder now.
Geographical.
It's harder now.
Yeah.
Once COVID happened, you couldn't, like, people were scalping video cameras, man. Like, it was like buying crack off the street trying to get a video camera. It was crazy. And that's just it. But, like you said, there's that broadcast mentality, and to see them not leaving the podcast room now at NAB, you're hard pressed to listen to a radio show and hear the end of it and not hear, like, tune in for the podcast after.
Right.
On the website, download the app to tune into the podcast after the show, you know, all that. So,
and the AKA so self-proclaimed number one podcast listening platform, the AKA, we won't speak of that company's name that starts with an I, but, you know, they claim, but, you know, I look at their global podcast statistics, I'm like, I don't think so. You know, your numbers aren't where you attribute them to be. Maybe there's a lot of consumption of your internally created content, but it's surely not of any external podcast because people are listening elsewhere.
Yes, yes. And, you know, even the one that claims to have started the whole podcasting movement is one of those that, like, I don't much pay attention to it. I'll gladly advise anybody to go onto any platform, but I have yet to ever see it comprise more than 20% of my downloads.
Ever. Well, it all depends. Every audience is a little different, you know. Hey. It depends on the audience makeup. You know, I have a big following of listeners on my show that are are Android users.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was promoting listening on Android when, you know, everyone else was stuck on Apple Podcasts. Yeah. So I was just like, you forgot about the other 50% of people out there.
Yeah.
So,
well, you know, we have quite the involved Facebook group and audience that tunes in, and even some of them, the privacy mongers that they are, were like, are there platforms other than Facebook or YouTube to find this? And I was like, we are actively testing live stream directly to our website right now, which is actively available. So, like we have an app that's available that you can sideload onto your device. If you're an Android user on our website, it is not on the Android store. It's not on Google Play. You do not have to give anybody your private information to get our app.
Awesome.
So, yeah, it's like you can sideload it right onto your device and you can listen live right there.
Sounds like you're ready to be deplatformed, Chris.
Kinda. or to just be absorbed into the machine.
Yeah. You
know, I can't wait to get that propaganda money. You know what I mean?
I'll continue to say I don't care where they listen as long as they listen. I don't care which platform.
That's
and I give them every opportunity to get it everywhere.
But
in the end, I tell them, hey, come back to, you know, Moonbase Alpha. Come back to this.com to find the show. Get follow or subscribe. You know, you'll know we'll always be here no matter what.
That's right. That's right. And that's just it. It's about that consistency, that making sure that your content is there, period. Like, good Lord, to wake up one day and just have, I see it all the time in the same groups that we belong in where it's like, I woke up and my stuff's gone. And it's like, wow, that sucks.
Yeah, because
I don't really what to tell you to do about that.
it does not take very long for YouTube to say adios.
Yeah,
And all that work that is put in there as well, and other platforms.
That's the big one that I have been warning people about, not even censorship wise, but terms of service wise. Because when they came up with their reset, like a year or so ago, when they changed their monetization rules, it came to the fact of if you were deemed by Google and YouTube to be, quote, like non-monetizable, which basically meant that you didn't reach the monetization goals by their assumed point of monetization. You know, like 6 months in, you should have this many minutes viewed, this many followers, all that. If you didn't hit all those benchmarks and your stuff wasn't available for monetization by that point, they could raise your content and even your Gmail address at any time.
Right.
And it's like, wow. To think that there are people out there and that is their main point of distribution. Man, that would be heart-wrenching to me to wake up and be like, well, you know, sorry, yep, you got 400 devoted followers every week, but just not enough to consider it like economically viable to keep your stuff on the server.
Mm-hmm.
How often do you guys run across stuff like that over at Blueberry? Because the last few minutes with any guest, always, Todd, is time for shameless self-promotion. So,
let's get
into this.
All right. So in Blueberry, if you don't pay your bill, your content comes down. Otherwise, it's kept up.
Nice.
So anyway, yeah. So if you want to check out Blueberry, go to blueberry.com.
Yeah.
Blueberry without the East, because we couldn't afford the East. And definitely try your free trial over there. No credit card required. Start your own podcast. Just be like Chris.
Yeah. Yeah. Come be like me. Good God. That is the worst advice ever. Don't come be like me.
And if you have comments about today's show, it's todd@blueberry.com. And if you've got a problem, legal@blueberry.com, though, if you want to address them about me, you can do that, too.
feel free. Welcome to HR. My name's Todd.
Well, actually, legal goes to legal. I'm not HR. So,
yeah. Man, thank you so much for your time on this topic. Once again, I think it's something that we've just forgotten, that gentle art of conversation and
yep,
accepting what somebody believes and going, huh, all right.
Or you want some coffee? Going, you're an idiot.
Sure.
Right. You can do that too.
Sure. You got utter right to change the stat. I remember at one point when I was back in the day, this is like 15, 20 years ago, almost, I was on the radio once a month with my avant-garde music. And the way I describe my avant-garde music to most folks, Todd, is imagine watching a sci-fi or horror movie with no words.
Yep.
Just the music and sound effects. That's like what I make. And there was an avant-garde show that came on, you know, every week, and once a month was local composers night. My dad tuned in. We're out working on his patio the next weekend, and he's like, man, tuned in last Sunday. Me and Daryl were here drinking beer. It's like, oh yeah, what'd you think? He's like, man, you should write something with a beat that people can dance to or something. I was like, man, I guess if I was making music for people like you, I wouldn't be making music a whole lot, huh? Like,
funny.
Yeah. You know, you feel free to change the station if you didn't enjoy it.
That's right.
that's kind of my attitude. If you don't like it, feel free to tune out. So, man, once again, Todd, thank you so much. Tell them where they can go and find Geek News Central, everything else.
Yeah, Geek News Central, geeknewscentral.com, twice weekly tech news show, new media show at newmediashow.com. It's a once weekly show on the podcasting space, co-hosted with a competitor, Rob Greenlee from Libsyn. So it's the only show in podcasting that has two competitors doing a podcast together, which is kind of cool.
Yep.
Other than that, just search for me on interwebs. Just search for Todd Cochran. I'm the first search result with an E, C-O-C-H-R-A-N-E.
All right.
So, Chris, well, thanks so much.
Absolutely. Todd, thank you so much, as always. Take care of yourself up there as things go crazy up in the East Coast with weather and all that kind of stuff. So
yeah, tomorrow will be fun.
Absolutely. Thank you so much again, my friend. I'll talk to you soon. And while you're online checking all of that out, folks, make sure to stop on by CuriousRealm.com. Make sure to stop on by the website. Check everything out. CuriousRealm.com/store for all the sweet swag. Make sure to stop on by our sponsors, True Hemp Science, as well as Podcast Cadet. Until next time, everybody, I'm Chris Jordan. And remember, take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. Stay curious. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye. Thank you for tuning into this episode of The Curious Realm. Stay tuned for more guests, forbidden topics, and hidden truths. Download the official Curious Realm app and view the knowledge vault on our website, CuriousRealm.com. Follow us on social media by searching Curious Realm. Curious Realm is available on your favorite podcast services, as well as YouTube, Roku, Amazon Fire, and Apple TV through the APR TV app, available on all app markets. Curious Realm is a proud member of the HC Universal Network family of podcasts. For more great content or to become a sponsor of Curious Realm or other podcasts, visit HCUniversalNetwork.com today. Thanks for listening. Stay curious. And remember, the other side is always watching.